Station, Houston, Space to Ground 2 for Johnny, your EMU dryout procedure. Station, Houston, Space to Ground 2, we have an LOS of about 10 minutes and 1 minute, and this is just for Johnny. We have completed steps 1 through 3 of the EMU dryout procedure, and he can start working step 4, and that's procedure 730724.
Engineer Lacan 2, picking up in step 6, and you're welcome to come on board the airlock and node 1 cameras.
Copy step 6, and we've got good view of you. Thanks, Johnny.
Engineer lock, step 3-6, parameters, O2 pressure 938, sample pressure 6230, water temp 80.
Copy, Johnny, good numbers.
Engineer lock on 2, I just assume it's step 40, you meant to say LTA connected to the HUD.
That's affirmative, Johnny, the LTA waste string connected to the HUD.
Engineer lock on 2, step 45, just letting you know this is the part where water might be coming out, so I've adjusted the camera so you have a good angle.
Copy, Johnny. We appreciate the view. We're with you.
Okay, not very much. Maybe a total of a couple drops, a really, really, really small droplets that I mostly caught. I'll use some lint-free wipes to get a little bit of the water that's kind of stuck there by surface tension. And then do you want me to go to O2 IV or continue to let air out?
Okay. And, Johnny, we copy the small couple of drops, and you're going to be using the lint-free. We're just going to get confirmation what step we want you in.
And after those couple droplets were dislodged, there, and I've cleaned up the just kind of the edge where, with the lint-free wipe, there is no more water coming out.
We copy, Johnny. That is good news, and you can step into step 48 of your EMU dryout procedure.
Okay, and then to pick up in step 49, O2 extra to IV. 48.
Affirm. Station Houston on Space to Ground 2, we see the enabled EQLIS warning. We are looking on the ground.
Hey, USOS is standing by. Station on 2 for an update.
With you on 2, Johnny.
Hey, Marcus, I imagine you all are probably getting your updates on from the Moscow side direct. I just went over to talk to Sergey. He said he was doing an O2 sensor activity when that enunciated, so it appears to be related to that.
Copy, Johnny. We appreciate the update on your end, and we're tracking on ours as well.
Okay. Resuming nominal ops, unless you want us to do otherwise, we'll be listening in for any actions.
Sounds good, Johnny. Yep, you can go back to your planned activities, and we'll let you know if we need the crew to take action.
Engineer Lacan 2, step 5-8, GAP started dry out 0849.
0849, we copy. Thanks, Johnny.
Engineer Lacan 2, question step 6-1.
With you on 2, Johnny, go.
Yeah, I think I understand the intent for the position of the camera so you can see if there's any water. I'm not sure what a lint vent pad is. There's no halves or anything inside. So I'm thinking I just put up the side shields and then position the camera that you can see the visor, and then it'll be obvious if there's any water kind of speckling onto the visor.
Hey, Johnny, that's good for us. We'll take your best effort, and just for your SA, the enabled warning, that message is cleared, and we did confirm with Moscow that it was related to their maintenance activity.
Okay. Copy all. Thanks. I'll let everyone know. Houston Airlines on 2 with that curious question.
With you on 2, Johnny.
We're just wondering, what is a helmet vent pad?
Hey, Johnny asked the exact same question, so top of the helmet, there is a white area where the HAP is to be installed, and so that is what we're considering the helmet vent pad.
Hey, copy all. Just curious. Thanks.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Johnny, airlock camera reconfig.
Hey, we're listening.
If possible, we'd like to get the airlock camera view just so that it is now kind of, now that we know where the helmet vent pad area is, just kind of having more of a direct view, if possible, once you're done checking it out.
I think that'll be in work. Chanel, look on 2, is that view better? And I know it's kind of reflective for you from the visor. I can try playing around with some external lights.
And Johnny, you are reading our mind. We are checking to see if that's a good view, but we do see the reflection of the lights. Airlock station on Space to Ground 2, that is a good view. We're happy with it.
Wait, does the light help or make it worse?
It helps a lot.
Just holler if you need any changes to the camera lighting. I've got it at 70%. These camera batteries, sorry, the light batteries don't last all too long, so just let me know if you need to change out.
Will do, Johnny. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Station Hustle on Space to Ground 2 for Johnny at your convenience.
So I'll turn on to you. Go ahead.
Hey, Johnny, hope I didn't interrupt your exercise. Just we saw your crew note, and I just want to pass along that we believe and we have double-checked that everything that you're going to need for today is in that stow note, so we just didn't want you to spend a lot of time looking for things you're not going to need. You're not going to need that preform bag or anything like that today.
Okay, copy. Thanks, Lori. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Lori, my apologies. I see the execute note of skipping all those steps. I had mistakenly thought it was XTP, so this all makes sense to me now.
Awesome, Johnny. Thank you.
Houston, good morning. On Space to Ground 2 for camera setup.
Hey, Mike. I've got you on Space to Ground 2. Apologies. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey. Good morning, Marcus. I had an activity. This is kind of the area where the extension cable to the GPS SIGI is. This would be the work area down here with the laptop. Tell me what you guys would like to see, and we can change it even in real time.
Hey, Mike, we copy. That looks good for now. We'll start with the accessing of the panels, and we'll let you know in real time if we need to change that view.
Okay, fantastic. And then just as a heads up, I would partially clear the P6 rack front from some camera equipment. Other parts will take just a few moments if we do need to rotate the rack. So I'm pretty comfortable where we are, except for two things that I think you can help me out with. One is we have a rad detector. It's just off the camera right here. It's a big yellow box, and I not want to touch it and or move it unless you suggest or until you give me a place to move it. And then also the lab printer is, again, also just off camera. It's right below the shelf here, and would like to know a good place for it. Now, hopefully we don't need to rotate the rack today, but if we do, those answers to those questions will help me out to make sure we stay on a good timeline and get the job done.
And we copy your questions, Mike. We'll have words for you if you need to rotate the rack.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks. And Houston Station, Space Ground 2 for SIGI, and a quick timing question.
With you on 2, Mike.
Marcos, looking ahead at the procedure, I'd like to start. I'm realizing people are coming in early this morning, et cetera. I'd like to start just on the laptop setup, just to make sure I have all the pieces. So I'd like to start with step number 3 a little bit early, and then have my midday meal. That way we can kind of start at the beginning of the procedure for the SIGI lab S7 troubleshooting on time. How does that sound?
Mike, we are good with that plan. You can set up the laptop on step 3 early.
That'll really help maintain the timeline and make sure we have all the parts.
Houston Station on 2 for T-Drive permissions.
With you on 2.
Hey, Marcos. I am working on the Cypher biomonitor setup activity that's on my timeline later this afternoon at 14:15, and trying to get into the OCA up folder on the T-Drive. I'm getting an error that says I don't have permissions to access that folder. Specifically, it says the OCA up is not accessible, the username or password is incorrect, and that's actually not limited to that folder. It seems to be across the entire T-Drive.
And copy, Zena. So actually, Johnny had mentioned something similar in one of his crew notes. I think it's midday crew note that Sergey was also experiencing this. And so I guess to start, it's not associated with the hypervisor 1 issue from last night. It is associated to a different but recurring issue that the team has been tracking, and the team has tried all the kind of initial troubleshooting steps that have resolved it in the past. That was no joy. But Pluto is talking to the MER for additional troubleshooting steps. Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Xena T-Drive update if you are free.
Radio on 2.
Hey, Zena, we may have a workaround or a fix for the issue that you're experiencing. And so the SSC, where you're experiencing the issue of not being able to access this drive, if you are to log out and log back in, that should resolve the problem. And if that works for you, that should work for Sergey as well.
Okay, copy. And this seems to be across all the SSCs, so I'll go around like a little log out, log in fairy.
We appreciate that, Zena. And just a note, SSC-19 was deployed by Kimia to the lab, and we're not seeing that online. So if you get the SSC-19 and you can power that up for us, we'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Station Houston, Space to Ground 2-4, Mike, your SIGI R&R.
Mike is listening.
Thanks, Zena. So just a heads up, we will need Mike to complete step 2, which is the cable connection, prior to completing step 4.2. Station Houston, Space to Ground 2. For Mike, this is the lab camera. We lost the feed, and we believe some cable may have come loose.
Mike is readjusting the camera. It should be back online shortly.
Thank you, Zena.
No problemo. And for your awareness, it looks like logging out and logging back into the SSC fixed the T-drive issue.
Great to hear. Thanks, Zena.
Thank you, guys.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2-4, Mike, lab at camcorder. Didn't seem like the readjustment of the cable worked. If we can have you power cycle the encoder, if you have a second, we'd appreciate it.
Marcos, I am readjusting the camera so you don't get seasick while I'm moving it. I'll turn it back on, and then we'll see how that works.
Awesome, Mike. We appreciate it.
Houston Station on 2. Camera has been re-energized, looking for a video check.
That looks great to us, Mike. Really appreciate it.
Great. Now that you can see better, I am on step 4.1.5, and then and then you can see what that looks like. That diagram looks a little bit different than what the laptop is showing, but the laptop is showing that flash 32 icon. So I think we're where we're supposed to be, but it just looks different than the procedure.
Second, Mike. Station Houston, Space to Ground 2-4, Mike.
Still here. Go ahead.
All right, Mike, looking at the background, it is what we expect. So you will have a go to proceed. We would like you just to verify, you're probably about to do this, that all the cable connections are have been complete. And so that would be step 2 before going on to step 4.
Yes, so we will not go to step 4.2 unless we do step 2 first. Seeing if you all are ready for step 2 now.
Yes, Mike, we are ready for you to go to step 2.
Okay, and in step 2, Marcos, you'll see there's a little bit of a dance and a sequence of events. And there's some specified ground calls. I'll make sure that we make them all, and we won't break to nothing.
We appreciate that, Mike.
As such, I heard your go, but just to triple double check, 2.1 RPCM is open to cloth closeout.
Copy, Mike. That is correct. The RPCM is open, closed, command is inhibit, and then the CCAA state is not on for the lab 1 starboard 6.
Fantastic. We'll proceed on down the path. And then also, I think you saw my stowage note that the SIGI firmware load extension cable was where it was expected for that figure number 1.
We did. Thank you, Mike.
Houston Station, Space to Ground 2 for SIGI.
With you on 2, Mike.
Yes, I see that extension cable. And my question is, do you expect me to be able to extend it out to the cabin, or is that as far as it goes? In other words, is there any slack in the cable?
And Mike, if you've already untaped it, we think that is all the slack you're going to get, and so we believe you might have to move the laptop if that's the case.
Okay, Marcos, copy, and we will adjust accordingly. Thank you. Houston Space Station, Space to Ground 2 for Siggy.
With you on 2, Mike.
I think hopefully you've been following along with the camera. Step 2.7 is complete. I preemptively did a few steps on step number 3, and I think we are now 4.2. Are you with me or am I with you?
And Mike, can you confirm that 3.4 and 3.5 have been complete?
Absolutely. The PCM CIA card with the part number 129284-301 is in the lower slot of the T61P laptop, and the switch is definitely in Trimble's / GSFC.
And we copy, Mike.
So if there's anything I can do with the camera view so that you can follow along even more better, happy to do so. In the meantime, I think I'm ready for step 4.2.
Mike, the camera view looks perfect for right now. We'll let you know if we need to change it, and we're just getting confirmation that we are good to step into 4.2, so stand by. And Mike, just like that, we have the green light, and we will have you jump into step 4.2 of your Siggy R&R.
Okay, you can see that things are starting to look like figure 8. I executed 4.2, and it's trying to establish a comm communication cycle power if necessary. So we are, that is verified, and I'm following along. I am complete with step 4.2, ready for GPS power on.
Copy, stand by for the GPS reconfiguration.
Marcos, before the LOS, just to let you know that on step 4.5, I see boot type 9 Siggy AT at 38,400. Continue YN. So that is as expected, and that's good news.
We copy, Mike. We appreciate that heads up. We're still working the GPS on and 2-minute wave. But we appreciate your heads up.
Okay, so I should not put in Y at the next at the top of the next page. I'll stand by for a yes.
Good read back, Mike. Station Houston, Space to Ground 2 in the blind for Mike. You have a go to proceed step 4.5. GPS is up and 2 minutes have elapsed.
To Station on 2 for Siggy. And Marcos, you called me in a blind, but I didn't hear anything else after that, so we just missed it. Standing by at the top of page 28.
Hey, Mike. Marcos left, so you've got me now. Yes, he tried to call up that the wait for the 2-minute wait was over, and you are go to proceed with step 4.5.
Good morning to you, and welcome aboard. And I see 4.5, and we will enter yes, and then we will wait for 1 minute for the load to complete. And again, welcome. It's fun Siggy day. And Houston on 2, you don't have KU yet, but had you had KU, you would see that the counter is rapidly counting up. Hexadecimal.
Houston copies.
And to Houston, good news, the flash 32 window closed automatically. It did stand at 17FF00. Everyone's favorite number for a few seconds. And attitude firmware loading is complete.
All right, Houston, copies. Stand by for GPS reconfiguration. Station Houston on 2 for Mike. You are go to proceed with step 5.
Okay, step 5 in work. And a real quick question for you. Just on the input, I want to get it right the first time. Syntax matters. It says flash 32, then there's a space. Then there's that http://2.in, then there's a space, then there's the /1/hi. So I'm just asking to make sure that I'm just getting my spacing correctly, and I believe that's the correct syntax.
And Mike, that's a good check. One additional note is there is a space between the /1 and the /hi.
Thank you. We'll get it right the first time. Appreciate the help.
Can I look at you for EMU dryout?
Go ahead, Donnie.
Hey there, Rebecca. Thanks for being with us today. I see that my four-hour timer has elapsed. I want to make sure you all concur, and then I'll pick up at step 62 and then end at 87.
And Johnny, we concur. The timer has expired. We do have an additional check for you to perform in step 64. We'd like you to check for any water at any of the outlets. Excuse me, at the DCM purge valve.
Okay, copy. I'll look to make sure if there's any water at the DCM purge valve. You also want me to look inside through the visor to see if there's any, Nope, I don't think there's any water. Okay, copy. I will look for any water at the DCM purge valve.
Thanks, Johnny.
And Houston Station on 2, Rebecca Persigi, complete with step decimal 5.1, ready for GPS power up.
Copy. Stand by for GPS reconfiguration.
Houston Air Lock on 2, I'm not sure you can see on the Node 1 camera, but a little bit of water came out when I opened up the DCM purge valve.
And Johnny, yes, you can see it. And Johnny, can you estimate a quantity of water for us, please?
Oh, definitely less than 10 milliliters. I don't know, maybe 5 milliliters.
All right, thanks, Johnny. We copy 5 milliliters, and you can clean that up with a lint-free wipe. Station Houston on 2 for Mike. Go to proceed with step 5.4.
Copy 5.4 in work, and just to let you know, we did get the expected message of the Type 9 at 38,400, so I will continue.
Houston copies.
Houston Station on 2, attitude, boot load is complete with expected messages.
And copy, stand by for GPS reconfiguration. Airlock Houston on 2 for Johnny. We saw on the camera that you removed both gloves from the EMU. We actually just needed you to temporarily remove one glove to equalize pressure. So if you could please reinstall both gloves before you get into step 74.
Hey, Rebecca, that's my fault. I misread the arrows. I thought they were pointing away from each other.
Understood. And Station Houston on 2 for Mike. You're go to proceed with step 6.
Houston, copy. Step 6 in work.
Houston, airlock on 2. Step 6-9. There is no water in the T2 neck ring vent port.
Houston, copy. Thanks, Johnny.
Airlock on 2, I'm currently on step 71. I'll remove the current Medox canister, and just to give you step 73 right now, the new Medox canister to be installed will be serial number 0020.
Houston copy is good number.
And airlock on 2 for Medox canister report.
Houston's here.
Hey, Rebecca, no water that I can appreciate either on the EMU side or on the Medox canister side. But one side does have some particulates in it. I'm not really sure. They almost look like small shavings. I'm going to try and do my best to bring it up to the Node 1 camera and zoom in.
All right, we're watching.
It's kind of hard to focus in. I'll try a manual focus. If I can't get that, then I'll just get the macro camera and down the
And yeah, thanks, Jenny. Regardless, we're going to want some good pictures of what you're seeing there.
I gave it a good college try. It's really hard to do. I'm going to just get some macro shots.
Yeah, thanks, Johnny. Appreciate the attempt. But yeah, definitely we'll take the camera shots.
Do you want me to go ahead and install the new Medox canister so that way the EMU side is not open to ambient air?
And standby one, Johnny, we're talking about that right now.
It's Houston Station on 2 to pile on for Siggy. No joy on 6.2, standing by.
And Houston copies, Mike. We're taking a look. Airlock Houston on 2. We are good with you. Go with you to install the new canister and to continue in the procedure. Copy, thumbs up. Station Houston on 2 for Mike. Could you give us a camera view so that we can see the whole message on the laptop? And then also check for lights on the serial hub box.
Station on 2. I gave you a better camera view. Let me know if you need something different. Sorry, it's due to cable lengths. We are, you know, sometimes halfway on the side and upside down. The multi-port serial adapter does not look like it has any lights on, but I don't even know where to look for the lights.
All right. Thanks, Mike. We'll let you know if we need any adjustment. We're all standing with our heads upside down to read the message. And we will check on the lights and give you some words on where you would see those if they were on.
Okay. I will try to adjust the camera so nobody gets blood rushed to their head. I hear that's uncomfortable.
Station Houston on two for Mike. So there should be lights next to all of the serial ports on that hub, and they should be pretty obvious. So since you're not seeing anything, they're all off. We're expecting that the hub is not receiving power from the laptop, which it receives via the USB connection. So we'd like you to try to plug it into a different USB port on the laptop.
Houston Station, as you can see, there's no joy on, so I can get out another USB cable. We had a couple in that same packet. And I only see two USB spots on this laptop. Maybe there's a third one on the left side near the serial card.
And thanks, Mike. We copy. And yes, we agree with the plan to try a new USB cable.
Right. The cable I tried was serial number 1035. I'm going to try 1033 instead.
Houston copies.
And Houston Station, no joy on another USB cable. That was 1033. No lights on the serial adapter. We'll try another USB port and also trying to see if there's one on the other side of the A61 here. There's just those two on the right-hand side.
Copy all, Mike. We concur, and we're trying to find our references, too, to see if there is that third port or not. And Airlock Houston on, too.
Okay, Houston Station on, too. I think you can kind of see what we have and what we don't have. I found a third USB port. It's right next to the PCMCIA card, which I tried to not use that one just so that we wouldn't bump the PCMCIA card because they're delicate. But I did it anyway. I put it in, and we have no lights on the USB serial adapter. So we're not getting power from the laptop, or we're just not getting power, or the USB serial adapter is not working. I looked for any switches, and there are none to be seen.
Houston copies. We're talking it.
Station standing by.
Airlock on 2, those photos are on SSC 7. You should be able to see what I'm saying. Was able to get some pretty detailed shots, and I think you called for me.
We did. We were wondering if you happened to check the new canister for FOD before you installed it, and if you did, if you saw anything, and if you did not, we'll want you to pull it back out and take a look for us.
I don't think I gave it a very good check over, so we'll go ahead and do that.
Station Houston on 2 for Mike. We're talking options here. We're looking into potentially a spare hub, but while we do that, another option we were thinking is if you could take the USB hub and attempt to plug it into another SSC to see if we get lights. Before you do that, please make sure everything else is disconnected from the hub except for the USB cable. Copy, thumbs up.
Yeah, on two, it's a good, clean, FOD-free canister. And I'd like to pick up on step 74, if you're good with that.
Houston is go for step 74, Johnny.
Houston, I like on 2, coming on step 79, waiting 30 seconds. I did not see or appreciate any kind of moisture or water coming from the neck ring port when I turned the fan on.
Houston copies.
Houston Station on 2 for Siggy. I plugged the USB serial adapter into a different SSC, and the lights are red. I would have guessed they would be green, but they showed up as red. So it does work. It does get power from another SSC. So it looks like the serial adapter and the cable work, but we're just not getting power from the USB port, A61P.
All right, Houston copies. And, yeah, we'll have to think about that for a minute.
Okay, and I know you guys have a whole bunch of smart people there. I may not be one of them, but I would like to offer that if that USB is only for power, we could power it separately. But I'm feeling that it might need to also have data from the laptop too.
You are a smart person, Mike, and we'll definitely think about it.
In airlock on two, step 85, the 4-hour tyrants and started, GMT 1353.
All right, Houston copies that the 4-hour timer has started. Can you do us a favor and remove the helmet cover and set up the camera view like you had on the first try-up? Station Houston on 2 for Mike. Just wanted to give you an update that we are still continuing to talk about the issue here. We did confirm that the USB is power and data, so it won't work to plug it into another SSD. We are continuing to talk, but if we are not able to come up with other steps or another solution in 20 minutes, then we're going to definitely proceed with the R&R. We might call you into that sooner rather than later, though.
Okay, copy. Yeah, understand. And this is an important task, so whatever you need, we're here. Just out of curiosity, do we have another A61P available, and maybe that one's USB ports work?
And the answer to that question is maybe. We're looking into it, and actually, we suspect that the issue is actually that the laptop does not have a battery installed, and that it's not powering the USB ports without a battery in it. So we're looking into options to get a spare battery.
And Houston Station copies.
All right, Station Houston on 2 for Mike. We have a plan.
Houston Station on 2. We love plans. Go ahead.
All right, so we found another 261P on board. It's in Columbus, at Columbus App 3. Should be powered off, and it's serial number 1136. We'd like you to take the battery out of that laptop and attempt or install it into our 261P here and see if that solves our issue.
Okay, Columbus App 3, we'll find an A61P. And it's 1136 serial number. And we'll take the battery from that, and then I'll meet back with you for installation instructions. And Houston Station on 2, I found the battery where you said it was, and I'm ready to put it into the laptop. Just double-checking we can do that without turning anything off. I'm happy to reboot it.
And Mike Kakal, we would like you to power off OFF the laptop before you install the battery.
Okay, would you like me to make any disconnections or before turning off the laptop?
And Mike, yes, we double checked. Power off the laptop and then unplug the power cable and all the other connections can stay connected. Happy thumbs up. And Mike, we see that the computer's booting back up. We're getting you steps to get back into the procedure.
Houston Station on 2 for acoustic monitoring.
Dina, good afternoon. Go ahead.
Hello. I'll be ready when you guys are. I also want to minimize interruptions to Mike, who's in the middle of his Monster Ziggy marathon. So let me know what time is best for this, and I'll be ready to support.
All right, Dina. Yes, copy that you are ready. We are going to just wait a couple minutes and see if we can get Mike going on this procedure again, and then we'll let you know when we're ready to begin the acoustic monitoring.
Sounds great.
Houston Station on 2 for Ziggy. Looks like we had a good boot up of the laptop, and I'm ready to stand by for further instructions, but I think we're in pretty good shape. We could try a USB port right away if we want to.
And yes, let's go ahead and get that plugged into a USB port and see if we get lights.
And, Houston, I like having joy, but in this case we have no joy. We'll try a different USB port, maybe the one next to the PCMCI card.
Yeah, Houston copies.
And Houston, just for completeness, just to let you know, the battery icon on the A61P laptop is flashing orange, which I think means it's depleted or needs to be charging.
Houston copies. Thanks for that status.
Houston Station 2 for Ziggy, and unfortunately no red lights on the serial adapter.
All right, thanks, Mike. Give us 2 minutes, and we'll give you a forward plan. All right, Mike, we're back with you on 2. All right, so we are going, at this point, we're not going to try to troubleshoot the USB hub anymore. We are going to give you steps to go ahead and close out of this procedure. While we do that, or while you do that, we are going to go ahead and attempt to power up the GPS to see if the two of the four thermal loads fix the issue. And we'll do that while you close out. So to do that closeout, we're going to have you pick up in step 8.1 to power off the laptop and deconfigure the cables. How's that sound?
Well, as far as plans goes, that's a splendid plan. I really like giving the GPS unit a try. Maybe what we did was enough. Maybe it wasn't, but we'll have data. I'm with you on the 8.1, and we'll shut down the T61P laptop. Once we do shut it down, I'll go off script a little bit and return the battery to the Columbus before we forget, and we will shut everything down orderly and follow the procedure.
That sounds good. And when you get to step 12.4, that step will be not performed.
Copy. Under no circumstances, unless you tell me to, do not do 12.4.
And that's a good read. And actually, before you run off to Columbus with that battery, we actually would like you to go ahead and proceed through 8.2.3 at a minimum so that we can get started on the power-up for the GPS.
Okay. We'll let you know when we're done with 8.2.3. Thanks. This has been great communication, and I have a good feeling about this.
Station Houston on 2, Verzina. We are ready for you to begin.
All right, I am with you on 2. I'll get the acoustic monitor powered up.
Houston, copy.
Houston Station on 2 for Siggy.
Houston's with you on 2.
2.3 and 8.2.4 are complete. And I will not say the GPS load is complete, but you are go to perform GPS startup and checkout on 8.2.6.
All right, Houston, copy. Thank you.
Houston Station on 2 for set of measurements complete.
Houston copies.
And for your awareness, I did repeat measurement number 2 in that first activity block.
All right, Houston copies. Good note.
Houston Station 2, super quick with a piece of information.
Houston's with you on 2.
So I'm sure you all considered it, but just to give some quick data, we did, putting away everything, I did find a T61P USB to serial cable that may have obviated the need for a serial adapter. I don't know, but this is what it looks like, and just throwing that out there, and over and out.
All right, thanks, Mike. Unfortunately, that would not have helped us today. Station Houston on 2 for Zena. We are ready for the second set of measurements.
Happy second set. Houston Station on 2. Second set of measurements is complete, and for the wind tunnel noise, it was noticeable, but the ongoing ambient noise in the area is louder.
All right, Houston copies. Station Houston on 2 for Mike with a status.
Mike is here, ready for status.
All right. We're still working through power up, or through the configuration, but GPS 1 is on. We're not seeing the same issue that we had previously, and we are tracking 2 satellites. So good indication that... but we're not through the woods yet. We need another 5 to 10 minutes to keep powering on GPS-1, but wanted to give you that good word.
Thank you. It's nice to see that we made it partially through the woods. We'll see if we'll make it all the way. From the NCG summary on our portable computer system, PCS, I have GPS-1 up and running, and so I can track from here. So I do see 2 sats.
Station Houston on 2 for Mike, and... forward plan for your timeline?
Go ahead on 2.
Okay. So what we'd like you to do is go ahead and step into your next activity, the lab rack rotate procedure, through step 4, which is all the steps right before you actually rotate the rack down. And we'll pause there and let you do your PIO event. We're thinking there was a target of opportunity to do a TCS inspection in that rack once it was rotated down, so we're talking about whether we're going to continue to do that and also preparing just in case GPS power-up does not hit.
Okay. I did bet a little bit on success, so the whole rack of V6 is not cleaned yet, cleared off. I will start that activity and... guys can follow along, and we'll see how it all progresses.
Thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Pulsation 3302 for MSG activation. Looking for a go in step one.
Good morning, Johnny. It's going to be a good time working with you today. You're go in step one, and when you've gravity, got some more words for you about your space vibes activity. There's a couple deltas we need to tag up on.
Andy, happy Friday. Okay, copy go, and we'll looking forward to working with you too. And I'll copy the deltas after the activation. Thanks. Until station on two, this is Johnny. Do you want this activity complete for the MSG activation? Do you want to pass me the deltas for space vibes now, or give to me when we start?
I could give you those deltas now if you're ready.
Sure, you can send it.
All right, so that fairy that shortened your three-hour space vibes activity must have heard you and came back to add a few additional steps, as long as you're willing. So basically, we'd like to have you install the particle catcher today. Otherwise, you'd have to undo a lot of the steps you're about to perform just to install it later. So to do that, you'll use the same procedure on your timeline. But per the execution note, you'll no longer skip steps 1.9 through 1.9.8 and 2.6 through 2.9. And you'll still skip the rest of those steps that the execution note calls out. You'll also need a few more stowage items, and I can read those out to you when you're ready to copy.
Okay, so not like the execution note, I will do steps 1.9 and 1.98 and 2.6 to 2.9, and I'm ready to copy the stow note stations.
Good read back. So the stow notes are at JLP port 2 forward 1 in 1.0 CTB 0 number 1018. You'll need one MSG filter cap currently inside a Ziploc bag with other MSG filter caps. At JLP F1 deck in 1.0 CTB labeled MSG hardware, serial number 1323, you'll need six MSG filter caps, a MSG particle cap with adapter, and serial number 05-056, and six MSG particle catchers. How copy so far?
Okay, I got 1.0 CTB 1018 in JLP port 2 underscore Foxtrot 1. I'm looking for one MSG filter cap. And then in JLP F1 D1, I'm looking for a 1.0 CTB 1323 labeled MSG hardware. And in there is going to be six MSG filter caps, one particle cap with filter, and that is serial number 05-05 Bravo. And then I'm looking for six particle catchers. Is that correct so far?
All good so far, except for that serial number for the particle cap was 05-056, not Bravo.
Yeah, I can't even read my own handwriting.
Neither can I, so no problem. At Lab Starboard 2, Golf 1, in the FUD, you'll need the MSG gooseneck. And then at Lab Starboard 2, Hotel 2, in the LUD, you'll need the MSG threaded fastener accessory bag. Two MSG threaded fasteners, L-18, an MSG long Velcro strap, and a 5-inch bungee, and then just some crew deployed items, which are a Ziploc and a Sharpie.
Let's see. Gooseneck, and then Starboard 2, Hotel 2, I'm looking for a bag, MSG threaded something. Can you repeat?
So that was at Lab Starboard 2, Hotel 2 in the LUD. That was the MSG threaded fastener accessory bag.
Okay, and then could you repeat everything after the MSG threaded fastener?
The rest were two MSG threaded fasteners, L-18, an MSG long Velcro strip, and a 5-inch bungee.
Copy. And then the MSG threaded fasteners, L-18, is L-18 a serial number or a part number?
That is part of the OPNOM, and those are going to be inside the threaded fastener accessory bag. And the last couple items were just some crew deployed things, the Ziploc and a Sharpie.
Okay, copy all. I think I might If I can't find anything, I might come back and ask some questions, but I think I got everything.
Please do, and we'll be here to help. And sorry, I walked into the LOS, can't have my eyes in two places at once reading off this list here. One last thing for you. We are talking right now about possibly delaying the start of that Space Fibers activity, so just please give us a call before you get started, and we'll let you know if we're ready or not.
Great, happy we'll do. Thanks.
Houston Station on 2-4, P6 Rackfront.
Houston City on 2, Mike.
Okay, I think you've been able to follow along as long as it's been KU. Right before Marcos left, he promised a, if we had to get this far, a plan for the rad detector and the printer. If you had any good ideas, if not, I will use my best judgment not to hurt any hardware.
And Mike, yes, we did have note of that from Marcos. We are double-checking on the answers to those questions for you.
Houston and Huntsville, Space Ground 2, for thermal mean scrub control.
Houston's with you on 2.
Rebecca, step 1.2, I see the XCP. I don't need a power down and add link, but wondering if I still need a check for the lab, drawer 1, and the RIV.
And Johnny, the safing is in place for step 1.2. The drawer 1 is powered off and the RIV is closed.
Great, pick it up in 1.3. Thanks. And the Houston Station on 2 for thermalamine, step 1.3.1. I know these are check steps, so I will make it so, just letting you know, both the DC and the AC power switch are on ON.
All right, Houston copies, Johnny. That was expected. Houston Station on 2 for Mike.
Go ahead on 2. I'm with you.
All right, so the smart people down here don't have any specific instructions for the rad detector or for the printer, so you are going to use your best judgment to move those out of your way. And did want to let you know that we are having to power cycle GPS-1, which is not necessarily off nominal, but it's not, or, you know, it's indicating that we're not through the woods yet.
Copy. One step at a time. Thank you. Really appreciate the updates, and I'll move the two items. Thank you. Sensation on 2 for lab rack rotate.
Mike, go ahead on 2.
All right. I'm on step 1.3 to get started, and I understand I'm cleared up to step number 4.
Mike, that's a good read, and you have a go in step 3.1.
Well, station on 2, checking in for Space Fibers.
Hey, Johnny, we're with you on 2. I'm just finishing up getting some coordination together. If you just give me one more minute, and I will reach back out to you.
But yeah, take all the time you need. I'll just go ahead and start gathering some things that I know I'll need, but won't take any steps until you let me know.
Station Huntsville on Space Ground 2 for Johnny and Space Fibers.
Can you go ahead?
Okay, we are not quite ready to get started with this activity. We have a couple troubleshooting steps we want to perform before we can get going. If you could head over to Cole Overhead 2 at Foxtrot 1 and check some switches for us, I can tell you which ones they are specifically when you get over that way.
Okay, it works.
Houston Station on 2 for rack rotate.
Mike, stand by 1. All right, Mike. Houston's back with you on 2.
Hey, Houston, just finished up to step 4. Did not do step 4, and getting ready for PAO event. I'll be ready for comm and audio checks in a minute.
All right, Mike, that sounds good. The rack front looks beautiful. I'll just give you a status that post-power cycle. It looks like we found the path in the woods again, so things are looking positive. And we'll have more words for you on the forward plan after your PAO event.
Station on 2 for Aaron.
Zena, we are 10 seconds from a handover. The view needs to go up towards your head.
Okay, I'll move the camera up. I can. Call me.
Station Houston on 2 for Zena. Just for your awareness, that last call of yours was on 2. Space Ground 4 is private now for your ARID photo TV. And one last note for your camera view. If it's possible to zoom out at all on the camera, please do so. Otherwise, it is fine as is.
Okay, copy. 4 is private now, and I just heard Steph checking in on 4. And I will see if I can zoom out on the camera or I can physically move the camera further away.
But I think if I move it too much further away, you're going to have WHC in view.
And Houston copies on the view. Use your discretion on what to do there.
Sensation on 2 for public affairs event.
All right, Mike, we're with you on 2. We are ready for voice, and we're checking on the scene. All right, Mike, good voice for the scene. If you could tilt the camera towards your feet down and also zoom in a little bit.
How's that, Houston?
And Mike, that looks great. Thanks, Johnny, for the assist.
Johnny's a most excellent crewmate.
Station, this is Houston. Are you ready for the event?
Houston, this is the International Space Station. We are very ready for the event.
WTAE-TV, this is Mission Control Houston. Please call station for a voice check.
This is Kelly Sasso with WTAE for voice check.
Kelly, this is the International Space Station, and hello to Channel 4, Pittsburgh, WTAE. This is Mike Fink aboard the space station. How do you read me?
Loud and clear, Mike. We could not be more excited to be talking to you today. This is probably the most special interview that we've ever done.
We're really glad to have you here, and it was fortuitous that I stopped by the studio, I guess, about 6 months ago before I knew I was going to be on this flight, and then here we are. Maybe it was a year ago.
Mike, I just want to start by something that we'll be able to air on the news tonight. You know, your story and your career has been highlighted recently as we've been reporting on the launch that is just over 2 weeks ago now. Tell everybody what this has been like for you, how you've adjusted so far, and exactly what your mission is while you're on the ISS.
This is astronaut Mike Fink aboard the International Space Station. I'm back after 14 years. I get to be aboard the space station again. We just got here about 2 weeks ago, and it's great. I remember the space station when it was a very small space station on my first mission. It's huge now, and we have 7 people aboard the space station. And what we're here for is a couple things. First, we're trying to make life better on planet Earth. We're doing all kinds of really important science, all the way from stem cells and material science. But we're also paving the way for the future. How do you live on the moon? How do you live on Mars? That's the goal of our expedition. I'm here for Expedition 73, the second part, and Expedition 74. And I'm glad to be back. I might be up here for like 6, 7, 8 months. When I'm done, though, I'm coming back to Pittsburgh.
Mike, I gotta ask, I know you've done this before, this is not your first rodeo. What is that adjustment like? Every time, is there an adjustment period for you where it just takes some getting used to non-gravity?
Yeah, it's really strange being up in space. And when we first get here, our bodies are adjusting. We don't know what's going on. We feel a little bit sick. I was a little bit nauseous for a day or two. And then my body said, oh, dude, you've been here before. And so all of a sudden I felt good again, and we all adapted really quickly, and we got to work about the space station as soon as we could.
And Mike, I'm not sure if anyone told you, you've had a lot on your plate lately, but we're producing an hour-long special about Pittsburgh's underappreciated role in the space industry. And so I wanted to ask you a question to be part of that documentary. You know, most people think of Houston or Cape Canaveral when they think about the space industry, but did you ever imagine Pittsburgh quietly building its own command center in the space industry?
You know, Pittsburgh has really grown a lot in the space industry, and it's on one hand hard to imagine. Yeah, how about that? But on the other hand, not surprising. We have a lot of smart people in Pittsburgh. We got great colleges. We got a great education system. We got hard workers. We know how to make things, right? That's what Pittsburgh's all about. So with our new economy and everything, of course we're part of the space program. Not just astronauts like me, but a lot of people working on all the different, from satellite companies to people sending landers on the moon. How cool is that? And I'm really proud of Pittsburgh, and I'm just I just think that's great because that means new jobs, more jobs, really high tech jobs, and really fun jobs, things that are meaningful.
Mm-hmm. You know, obviously you're very much the face of Pittsburgh's role in the space industry right now, but just a few miles from where you grew up, Astrobotic is working to put a lander. They're making another go to get this lander on the moon. You know, what does it mean for you to see a Pittsburgh company really joining the global space race?
I am so proud of Astrobotic and, you know, the other companies in Pittsburgh, you know, for the space race. And, on my last trip to Pittsburgh before I got assigned to this mission, I was really lucky. I had a chance to tour the facilities. And if anybody can do it well and land on the moon, it's this team. I could just see that they were doing all the right things with testing, a lot of really smart people. And right there, right outside, you know, the stadiums and right there across from the Carnegie Science Center, what a great location, what a great company, and I wish them the best of luck. We need people be able to land on the moon with our unmanned lunars and, our uncrewed landers and our future landers too. This is great technology, and of course, Pittsburgh is leading the way.
And on that note too, obviously, you know, it was a very public, you hate to even use the word failure. Are you doing a front flip? there you go. Tell us why you're doing that.
I'm sorry about that. You were asking a very serious question, and I did a flip because I can. It is just really great to be here in space, and I just wanted to share that. And maybe it's inspirational, but I know it's really fun.
Yes, that is awesome. I was going to ask you, you know, we saw this sort of public, some people use the word failure. I don't think that's the right word of when Astrobotic tried to make it to the moon. They didn't. They feel very confident this go around. How important is it to come back from what happened to them and try again for another landing?
Yeah, so you know, it's a failure when things don't work the way you want them, right? And that's life sometimes. But what I learned, you know, the Air Force sent me to test pilot school, and I got to learn about testing. Sometimes things don't work, but it's what you do about it with the data that you gathered. The Astrobotic team has really done a good job in understanding what went wrong and taking corrective actions to fix it. They got smarter, and they learned from their things. And that's just like, I don't know, when the Steelers, you know, they go to, you know, they do four downs and then they're out. Then the next time they said, what went wrong, and they fix it, right? That's just, you just pick yourself up and keep moving forward, and that's how you win the game.
Okay, and, you know, I'll veer off topic for a second only because you brought them up. You're going to miss the Steelers season this year. How's that going to go for you?
Well, and the next cargo ship up, they have a set of personal gear for me, so I got my terrible towel. And in the meantime, I am wearing a Joey Porter T-shirt that my parents sent up on the SpaceX with me as a surprise. And I think they got it from Giant Eagle. So, you know, how much more Pittsburgh can you get? But yeah, I'm going to miss the games a little bit. We're working with our team on the ground so that they can beam up a few of the games to me so I can watch them. I know they're going to do well this season. It's going to be an exciting season, and I'll be one of the many people watching. And of course, you know, it's a great thing to have a piece of your hometown, with you to get us through these long months. And I'm just really glad to be a Steelers fan and have my terrible towel.
The fact that you're wearing a Giant Eagle Steelers T-shirt is the greatest thing ever on the International Space Station. I think all of Pittsburgh would applaud you for that. Mike, I wanted to ask you, you know, I think you kind of touched on it a little bit before. What sort of parallels do you see with Pittsburgh's, you know, history and its industrial roots now transferring to the work in the space industry?
Yeah, Pittsburgh is really uniquely positioned to be really a strong and even stronger player in the space industry. It comes from our heritage. I mean, when we were a steel town, well, we still are, but when we were really a steel town, in every sense of the word, we were making things. We were building things. We were helping America expand. And the same kind of thing as we go to the moon and Mars and beyond. We need the expertise of people that aren't afraid to get their hands dirty, people who aren't afraid to use their minds, and people who aren't afraid to work and make things. I mean, isn't it great to be constructive? That's what Pittsburgh's all about. We're a very constructive, positive, forward-looking city, and we have the talent, and we have the industry, and we're just really poised to do super well in space. And I'm very excited about that. I'm very proud of my fellow Pittsburghers.
And I want to ask you too, you know, for people like really taking a step back here, for people who maybe don't understand why there's such an emphasis on going to space and doing the research and, you know, figuring out how to make power on the moon, kind of, if you can, give people the why. Why is this important for humanity's future?
What an investment the space program has been for our country, and what an investment it is for our future. We have a super high-tech economy right now, and that's directly traceable back to the early space program with Apollo and going to the moon and how it motivated our country. It's the same thing. We are aboard the International Space Station to make life better on planet Earth, and we're also working at NASA to industrialize low Earth orbit and explore the moon and beyond. And there's other countries that are working on this also. Some of them are in collaboration and some are in competition. And I think it's really important for the United States of America to continue with its leadership in space and to go to moon and to the Mars and go to the moon and go to Mars and beyond. And there's a role for the kids of Pittsburgh today to actually get a chance to walk on the moon. When I was a kid, I wanted to. Doesn't look like it's going to happen in my career. Who knows? But I bet you there's going to be a lot more Pittsburghers walking on the moon in the next 25 years. And then using the lunar resources to relieve the burden of industrialization here on planet Earth. It's just a win-win situation and a great investment and great high-tech jobs.
And you brought up the kids. I mean, I have to imagine whenever you come back from this mission and your other missions, the kids just flock to you because you're like a superhero. You're a real life superhero getting to do what you do. How fulfilling is that to get to know that you're inspiring people by literally being physical proof of that this is possible?
Well, I think we were all kids at one time, and we do realize the power of having a good example. And that's how I pay for my ticket to come up to space. Is that it's paid for by the taxpayers. I'm a civil servant, and I have to pay back to society, and that's how I do it, is by inspiring the next generation. Because you know, one look at me and say, well, if that guy could be an astronaut, I can be an astronaut too. But along the way, I'm happy to share like how some of the life lessons that I've learned to help inspire them and to get them through some tough times, because we always don't win every day, and just to have that grit and keep on going. And so it's a real honor to inspire the next generation of explorers. I take it very seriously, and it makes me so happy too. I just love kids. They're my people.
What will a successful mission look like for you whenever you set foot back here on Earth? What do you want to feel like you've accomplished physically, mentally, all of it?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a philosophical question, too. I'm coming up on my 400th day in space. How lucky am I? So what more is there to prove? Not much more. But really, I think my crewmates and I, we've talked it over. We'd like to leave the space station better shape than we found it, to help a space station prepare for its eventual retirement, as well as to do our very best every day with a great attitude and get our program done, get our science done, and get the best data we can for the researchers on the ground, and be good examples for everyone else as best we can. And as long as, you know, and one of our goals is to remain friends throughout the whole mission, because we're going to be here for a long time. And we're just figuring out how to be, you know, really get along together. And it's going great so far. This is going to be a great mission, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with my hometown as we move forward through time.
I think I have time for maybe one more question. So I want to ask you, you know, does the entire space station look like what we're seeing behind you? Because there are 8,000 wires in the shot. And do you know what they all do?
Yes. Welcome aboard the Columbus module, European Space Agency's contribution to the International Space Station. It is a little bit untidy, but it is very representative of the space station. I did not have time to read it up today. But I did wanted to share it with you because, yes, there are wires everywhere. There's cargo containers down here that are under some bungee cords. And this is the state of space station. When we first designed it in the 1990s, we didn't imagine that we're going to have Ethernet and Ethernet cables everywhere and power cords and laptops. This wasn't quite designed for it. So everything comes on the exterior. And there's no reason for a cable to lie down straight like it would back home on planet Earth. They just go the way that the wire wants to bend. So it looks a little untidy, but boy, everything is efficient. We do know where every cable goes, what its name is, what its serial number is, and where it's supposed to go. So we're able to keep track of everything. We just have to be careful when we're flying around that we don't snag it. But that's part of being being an astronaut, is learning how to fly around the space station.
Okay, and just because no one's cut me off yet, I'll ask you too. I know you did a flip earlier, which was really crazy to see. Like, do you have a favorite move in space that you can share with us?
Yeah, we have a move that we can only do in a different module. And it's called the Iron Man maneuver, and I can't quite do it here just because we don't have too much room above, but I'll do our best, very best that we can. I'll go all the way down on the floor, then lift my arm, and I'm just going to rise right up. Not quite the ascension. It's Iron Man. So hold on.
Impressive.
Yeah,
Tony
Stark can't even do that. So
that is very good. Mike, is there anything else that you want to add that we didn't talk about, either about, you know, for the documentary purposes, which I'm so excited to highlight Pittsburgh's role in the space industry for our audience. Anything else you want to add about that, or just your current mission for our audience that's going to be seeing a clip of this tonight?
I can't really think of anything. You really hit all the questions really nicely on the head. I think I answered them okay, but if there's a repeat or another way we want to do something, I think we might have a minute or two. But it's been a real honor to have a chance to talk with you in WTAE Channel 4 Pittsburgh. I know exactly where you are. As we were talking here, we started out our conversation. We were over Newfoundland, Canada, and now we are coasting the tip of Africa. We went across the Atlantic and all the way, not just across east to west, but north to south. And I think an airplane ride would have taken about 17 hours, and we did it in about 17 minutes.
That is wild. Do you look down sometimes and look for Pittsburgh specifically for home?
Oh, yeah. There is no place like home. Pittsburgh's not easy to find, but the three rivers point straight to the point. And the stadiums, and then from there I can kind of go up the Ohio River, see Neville Island, go across, see the bridge, I-79 bridge over the Ohio River there near Sewickley, and then I can almost see my parents' house from there. I told my parents to get a bigger house, but they said no, they like the one they have. But I can almost see it from space, and yeah, there's no place like home.
Wow. You know, I don't know. I'm sure we'd have to talk to NASA, but I sure hope at some point throughout your mission we can connect again. I would love to chat with you again a few more weeks and months into this, if you would be up for it.
Oh, I'm up. I'm always up. We're up in space, yes, but I would be up for another interview, and really appreciate taking the time and helping me share the story of the International Space Station and spaceflight and being an astronaut with my friends and family. And that means like everybody in the city of Pittsburgh and the boroughs around the greater Pittsburgh area, as we say.
Thank you so much, Mike. This was the highlight of my career, honestly, getting to talk to you up there. I really appreciate it. And
thank you so much. Thank you for the interview. And yeah, let's do it again sometime.
All right. Take care, Mike. Thank you.
You want to see? All right. This is Houston ACR. Thank you. That concludes our event.
Thank you to all participants. Station, we are now resuming operational audio communications.
Dual station on 2 for the Space Fibers application unit.
Hey, Johnny, I was just calling you on 3. We are ready for you to get started back with that. So the last thing we want you to try is, in that data fabrication module unit, moving the cable from the upper J2 port to the J3 port.
Hey, copy. Cable J2, J3, and just to close the loop, I completed the switch one off, gear breakers open, then close after 10 seconds, and then switch one back on.
I copy. Thanks for that confirmation.
Houston, station on 2 for Siggy's.
Houston's with you on 2. We were just about to call you, Mike. I've got an update. GPS-1 is tracking the full set of satellites. So it appears to have found itself through the woods. We are going to keep a close eye on it through the weekend. If something were to go wrong, we'd be looking at an R&R early next week. With that said, that means we are aborting the ITCS inspection and the SIGI R&R off your timeline today. To clean up from where you're at, also thank you very much for the effort for cleaning off that rec front, but we are going to have you put everything back. You can pick up in your rotate up activity in step 10, running through the end, and then you're going to complete the last two blue activities on your timeline today as well, which is the SIGI lab, the rack front replace, hardware replace, and the tool stow. Additionally, we recommend doing a get ahead activity off of Monday's timeline. Let me know when you're ready to copy that one down.
Great. I copied everything so far. My memory banks are full. I am very glad to hear the news. Congratulations to the team on the ground and for everyone for walking us through some of that firmware fixes. Look very, very promising, and we'll see how it works over the weekend. I am watching it here on the PTS, and it's amazing. That said, we will do the restow activity up the step, or starting at step 10, or up the step 10. We'll make sense of it. When I open it up, I'll take a look. I have five questions. We'll do that. Then we'll also do the rack restow, and I will call you when we're ready to talk about the get ahead from next week.
Yes. Yep, perfect. Sounds good. Station Houston on 2 for Johnny.
You're back at Johnny on 2. Go ahead.
Hey, Johnny. Kimio is going to need the Node 1 camcorder for his T2 photo TV coming up here. So we'd like you, at your convenience, to pop the Node 1 camera for the airlock camera to give us that view into the helmet for the dryout.
Easy day. It works. Station, speech about 2.
Hey, go ahead, on 2.
Hey, the entire crew of Expedition 73 wants to share some words to highlight a public servant who has spent countless years in service of international cooperation so that humans can live in space and do so successfully. And this is for Antonio De Feliz. Today marks the final shift cycle for Antonio, whose dedication and expertise have left an indelible mark. Always ready to dive into the groove of Columbus system activities, from mastering the intricacies of Columbus external payloads, ASIM, STP-H7, ASIS, STP-H10, and even the external PDU outlet trip. Supporting the interface heat exchanger full flow test with unwavering precision, Antonio has been a cornerstone of Stratus' success. Antonio, you didn't just lead, you mentored. Always generous with your time and knowledge. Your role within the Axiom 4 mission was just another testament to your commitment and excellence. On behalf of the entire flight control team and the International Space Station, we thank you for your passion, your mentorship, and your tireless support. You've helped shape not just missions, but people. And we wish you all the best in your next chapter. You'll always be a part of our team.
And Stage Munich on Space Station 2. And the name on Antonio is sitting next to me. I will have to say thank you very much for the nice words.
It's our honor, and, you know, I don't think we can articulate how much we appreciate the flight control team, to people just like Antonio, who work so hard every single day so that we can be successful up here. Thank you.
Station Hunt on Space to Ground 2 for Johnny and Space Fibers.
So, Johnny, that's you. Go ahead.
Hey, Johnny, we are just about ready for you to start that Space Fibers 3 activity. The one last thing we want a report on, if you could, is that docking module that you had opened earlier. Could you just take a peek back in there, or if you remember, in the viewing window, if the spool was spinning and if the lights were on, indicating that the unit was powered up?
Go ahead and look right now. I do remember the lights being on, but I don't remember much about the spool. So 1 minute. Andy, Johnny on 2. Confirm the Space Fibers 3 fabrication module light is on, but the spool is not moving.
Copy. That is an expected config, so we appreciate that report. With that, we are ready for you to just jump into that Space Fibers 3 procedure, and we really appreciate your patience on dealing with our back and forth and all the deltas we've been doing.
No problem at all. Thank you for all the support. It's the name of the game. And should I just pick up with the first step in the procedure?
And affirm, Johnny, you'll pick up with the first step of that procedure.
Roger, that's Mark. Full station on 2, field of view check.
Yeah, we see that. We are checking. And Johnny, we are good with that field of view.
Full station 2, question on 1.9.3.
Go ahead for 1.9.3.
Looks like there's already MSG particle cap on this adapter hose. Do you want me to remove it and put a new one, or can I use the same one?
And Johnny, you can use the same one.
And Houston station on 2 for lab rack rotate.
Houston's with you on 2, Mike.
This hydroflow connectors are always fun, but we've got everything exactly the way we want it. So on step 13, I'm notifying you of task completion and moving on to the next one. I do owe you some photos.
Houston, copy.
So station on 2, question on 1.9.5.
Go ahead for 1.9.5.
Andy, I know you don't have KE right now, so you can't see. Is there a picture of what I'm, of what 1.9.5 should look like, or maybe you could walk me through exactly what the config should be?
Copy. Stand by. Let me get some words together for you.
Yeah, I know you're talking it down there. I think if I understand the intent, I will be able to execute accordingly. I think there was a short video on, like, how to do the preform stuff. And so I think this gooseneck is just maybe some line management for the hose as it connects to the preform. If that is correct, then I think I have an idea of what it should look like.
Yeah, stand by one more. We're just finishing getting everything together, and we'll give you that big picture context.
Hey, thanks.
Station Houston on 2 for Xena and a request for help with a 20-minute activity.
So station on 2, separate question. For 1.9.8, it asked me to install the 5-inch bungee. Do you know where I can find some of those 5-inch bungees used for these long Velcro strips? We do have bungees that are crew deployed, but those are the ones with the French hooks on each end, and I think they're just a little big for MSG work.
Yeah, for that, the location is at Lab Starboard 2, Hotel 2 in the LUT, and it should be in the... should be a Ziploc bag. They are labeled MSG bungee cords.
Hey, copy. Thanks.
And Johnny Huntsville is back with you on 2 at your convenience for an answer to your first question.
Okay. I'm ready to copy.
Should be pretty simple. We actually have video now, so we're taking a look at your config, and that looks good to us. The idea is just to have that against the back wall, that tubing in the arm, once the unit goes in. So everything you have there is a good config, and you can press.
Okay, sounds good. I think it's good. I don't know if I need caps on tape. Sounds like I can continue. And other comment, thanks for the location of that bungee cord. I was able to find one. I did take the very last one out of that bag, just in a flight. Okay, with that, I'm going to pick up in step 2.1, which is going to be in the Columbus. So station 2, question on 2.1.2.
Go ahead. We're here to answer your question.
When it says CB to open, is that meaning the circuit breaker on the control unit and then the circuit breaker on the fabrication module are going to open?
There'll be the control unit in 2.1.2, and then in 2.1.4, it'll be the fabrication module.
Okay. What does CB mean? I just see it. I'm not sure if that's a typo, or is it stand for circuit breaker?
So that's a good question. It's one that tripped me up for a little bit. That's an ODF standard. The CB is for circuit breaker, and then you have to also label it as circuit breaker.
Okay, copy. So it's just a single circuit breaker that's going open. All right. Good work.
That's a good understanding.
Station Houston on 2 for Xena. At your convenience, we have a 20-minute ARID activity we'd like your help with.
With you on 2.
Hey, Xena. We're asking you to help us with this because we're trying to catch this time between your ARED and when Kimia picks up in his ARED. Because of the reports earlier this week of the racking issues with ARED, we have a short 20-minute activity inspection that we'd like you to perform plus some pictures. Let me know when you are ready to copy. I have a few stowage items and a procedure.
Ready to copy and happy to help.
Okay, first for the stowage, we're going to need you to gather a reel lube, which is located at Lab 1, Overhead 5, Kilo 1 Locker, in a half CTB, serial number 4190.
Okay, real loop from CTB 4190. That's in lab overhead 5. And say again, which locker?
Kilo 1 locker.
Low 1, copy.
And then you'll also need to grab dry wipes and nitrile gloves for use with the real loop. And we'll need a camera for photo documentation.
The dry wipes, gloves, and the camera.
And then we're going to have you perform it's a one-time use procedure in IPV, so it's got the message number in front of it instead of a normal IPV number. The number is 70-0319, a red detent plate and tension mechanism imaging.
Okay, copy says message 70-0319 for some aorta plate and detent mech imaging.
Good read. And then we're going to have you perform that procedure in full. And then when that's complete, we'll also have you photo document both left and right upper stop cables and then provide any additional information you might think could be related to the racking issues that were reported on the right side earlier this week.
Okay, copy all.
Position on space ground 2 for T2X flight.
Houston's with you on 2, Kimia.
I have completed T2X flight, so please stop recording. Thank you.
Houston, copy.
So station space ground 2, question on step 2.1.5.
Again, 2, go ahead, Johnny.
Andy, I am on, let's see, the fifth row, express rack RG45 is in the cable 6 feet. It is connected to J7. Ethernet, the actual port is called Ethernet and J7 on the control unit, not J4. I just want to make sure you want me to continue.
Checking. Okay. And Johnny, back with you on two. That's good information. No concerns from us. You're good to press with the activity.
Okay. In work. Thanks. Station, I'm sorry, Huntsville Station on 2, question on same step, 2.105.
Go ahead.
Remove the fabrication module from ER-10B. Is ER-10B the same thing as the Space Virus 2 docking module?
Okay, good question, Johnny. So it's, the docking module is actually installed into Express Rack 10B.
Okay, copy. And then, in order to remove this fabrication module, it looks like I need to remove this L bracket, which appears to be Velcroed on. I just want to make sure. I think I'm bringing it with me. Is that correct?
Confirm. That'll be going with you to MSG.
Station on 2 for Aerith.
Houston's with you on 2.
Hey, I'm checking through the execute package and am unable to find message 70-0319. I tried also searching for ARED and detent and imaging, and no joy. Should I be looking somewhere other than the execute package?
Yes, we expect it should be in IPV.
Thank you.
And Zena, while I have you, I know Kimia finished up on his T2 and your next actual activity is T2. There's nothing critical about executing this activity before Kimia gets on his aerate exercise. So if you all are both wanting to progress in your exercise for today, you're also welcome to perform this activity after Kimia gets off of aerate.
Okay, copy. We will deconflict. This actually gives me a little chance to have some snacks, and I think Kimia is actually delaying his aerate a little bit anyway. So this is perfect timing.
Sounds good. I just wanted to let you know there was flexibility there.
Appreciated.
So station on 2, question on the same step, 2.105.
Go ahead.
Do you know where I can find bolt 1 and bolt 2? The procedure states TEPSNO with the fabrication module. I looked inside the locker, the Space Harvest 2 docking module locker. I couldn't find it, and I don't see it on the fabrication module.
Checking. Johnny Hensel's back to you on 2. So we are tracking those being inside the docking module in a Ziploc bag. Figure 6 of this procedure should show you what they look like to maybe help. If you're not seeing them there, we are also working on trying to find an alternate location for you.
Copy, and thanks. I will look again. So station on 2 for the bolts.
Go ahead.
Andy. I could not find it. I grabbed Mike, and we both extensively looked around the actual fabrication module and inside the locker and around the locker. I'm also looking for some common places in Columbus where it might go if it was free, and I haven't seen it on any of the intakes. So I guess I will take that alternate location when you get to it.
Copy. That sounds like you gave it a very thorough look. We appreciate that. For now, just press with the activity. We don't want to delay you any further. We're going to keep working in an alternate location or some other workaround in the meantime.
Copy. Thanks. Small station on two. So without the bolts, I won't be able to secure the fabrication module to the floor of the MSG. Would you like me to temporarily use some caps on tape?
Copy. Yeah, we understand it's not going to be secured. We're still kind of trying to work an alternate location or some other way of holding that down permanently. It doesn't sound like Capton's going to be the solution. So for now, if you just press the activity, get as far as you can, understanding that it's not going to be secured, but we'll try to have a solution for you by the end of the activity.
Okay, copy. Thanks.
Station on 2 for ARED and D2.
Distance with you on 2.
Hey, it took me a minute to gather the lubricant for ARED, so I've got all that ready to go, but I am going to pause and do my T2 exercise and then return to ARED later when it will be free. And with that, I've got the camera on, still set up from Kimia's T2 activity. Let me know if that's a good view.
All right, copy all, Zena, and the T2 view still looks good, so you're good to start.
Sensation on 2.
Hi, go ahead.
T6 rack is back the way it was, but better even, I'm sure. So I'm ready to listen and do the activity you were going to move up from Monday. I'm ready to copy.
All right, Mike. So for the get-ahead activity that we were going to have you do or are going to have you do for Monday, it's at 1755 on your timeline, IFM, SIGGY, Lab 1, Starboard 7, STOW activity. Let me know when you have it.
Please stand by, looking up. Okay, we're back with you, Houston, on Space to Ground 2, and I have the stowage note associated with the activity.
All right, yeah, so I just have two deltas for you for the STOW note. The first is in line item 8. You can stow that item in a large Ziploc as you found it today.
Right, that's the USB adapter, yeah, so that's, I'll put it back where I found it. Understood.
And the second is for line item 17. You're going to be restowing the GPS serial number 1818 instead of the serial number 13 that is in the stow note.
Okay, change the 3 to an 8 and we're in business. Understood. And, yeah, I'd be happy to restow all that stuff this afternoon.
All right, great. Thank you.
I know we're seeing the very edge of the woods. We have some analysis to do, but compliments to the whole team and to you, Rebecca, for guiding me through there. And it looks like we may have a good GPS one. Again, looking solid so far. But we are very glad to be part of the team and to get something cool like that done today. So thank you and good work to all.
Thank you, and thank you for the good words.
Station Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for Johnny and Space Fibers.
So Johnny on 2, go ahead.
All right, it took our team a little bit of work to try to track down a potential location for those two missing bolts. We're thinking it could be in 2.0 CTB, serial number 4074 at Lab Port 4. Delta 2, Echo 2, it will most likely be in the CTV lid.
Okay, and am I looking, how many bolts am I looking for, and is it, it's just in a small plastic bag?
So the expected quantity is 4 total bolts, and yes, it'll be in a plastic bag. Copy, thumbs up.
Huntsville Station on 2, so I went to Lab P4, D2E2, and that entire space is empty. There's no CTB there.
Copy. That is obviously not what we were expecting. We're going to have to keep digging, so I guess for now continue to press with the activity. Sorry, I see you struggling with that thing floating out on you, but that's the best we could do until we get that alternate location.
Great, no issues at all. And I double-checked IMS just to make sure 4074 is supposed to live in P4 in E2, P2. So, sorry, but I'm standing by if you have an alternate location.
Copy. And, yeah, as soon as we know something, we will let you know.
So station on 2 with a question on 2.11.
Go ahead.
So it looks like for the cable, I need to connect the space fibers to 28-volt power cable 1. And so that's in my left hand right now. And it needs to go into the DXP power outlet to J325. But the sizes are very, very different. And I'll show you. I'm wondering if you meant the express rack power cable, which is a much bigger size and seems like it would fit.
And Johnny, that top right corner was cut off by the video, so we couldn't quite see, where you're pointing there. And watch your head when you turn around, Johnny. That thing's floating out at you. And Johnny, it's not focused, but we could pretty clearly see what you're talking about. It's definitely way too small. We're checking if you want to continue with the other connections, and we'll get a different cable for you.
Yeah, so if it's okay with you, I'd like to Kapton tape this just temporarily. I know you're looking for alternate bolts, but it helped my workspace.
Hey, firm, we're good with you temporarily, the Kapton taping that.
And on station 2, another question. This is now row 3. So for the same step 2.11. I'm not sure what the VUE front panel is, but I think it's referring to the HD video drawer, which is located at lab starboard 2J1. And it looks like there is an Ethernet connection called at J18. Can you confirm?
Affirm. You've got that right. Good understanding.
And Huntsville Station on 2, would you like me to proceed with step 2.15? Right now, it's got a little piece of Kapton tape between the floor and the unit, so I can put the front window on, or if you'd like me to wait until we find the bolts, I can do that, too.
Understood. For now, we're going to have to wait. We're just discussing if we can leave it in the current config with that Kapton tape once the window goes. And, Johnny, I don't know if you copied my last before we hit that handover. We're just discussing if the Kapton tape will be sufficient with our team down here for us to put that window on and leave it in that config. So we don't want you to put that on and then have to take it back off. So just stand by one. We're going to finish up this conversation. I'll let you know.
Okay, I'm standing down until further notice. Thanks.
Johnny, Huntsville's back with you on 2. For now, we are going to have you put the window back on. That way you can get to your EVAMU activity. We don't want to hold you up from that. And then we'll continue to discuss forward steps down here while you're in that activity. Copy, thumbs up. And if you could just also leave the video pointed at that unit, and we'll keep an eye on it and make sure it doesn't come loose.
So station on 2. So I'm on step 2.19, just confirming this is a safe config for me to leave and work on my EVA activity.
And Johnny, affirm that is a safe config. You can head off to your EVA activity.
Great, thanks.
And Houston Station on 2 for Johnny. We have some deltas for your EVA activity, so please give us a call before you get started.
Hey, Rebecca on 2. I'm ready, copy.
All right, Johnny. So because you saw some water coming out of the purge valve earlier, we're going to do a short purge to ensure that line is dry. And so we're going to do at least 1 2-minute purge, and we may repeat that depending on the results of purge. So I'll give you the steps here. In your EMU dry term activity procedure, step 88, instead of taking the O2 actuator to off, you're going to take the O2 actuator to press, then the purge valve to open, which is up and locked, and then start a 2-minute timer. Then you're going to report if you see any signs of water at the purge valve, and if there is water observed coming out, then once that 2-minute purge is complete, we will close the purge valve, wait 5 minutes, and repeat. If there's no water, and we will take O2 actuator to off and continue with the steps of your timeline activity.
And step 88, I'm going to go O2 actuator to press. We're going to keep the, then move the purge valve, the DCM purge valve to open, locked, and then we'll start a 2-minute timer and I'll report. I will also get the video record, the video camcorder zoomed in on that area so you guys can see. And then from there, we either branch off into doing some more purging or I'll close it and then O2 actuator to off.
You got it. Thanks, Johnny.
Pleasure. Mission airlock on 15 seconds until 2 minutes. I haven't seen any indication of moisture or water, so I just want to confirm in 2 minutes you'd like me to close the DCM purge valve and then O2 actuator off.
And Johnny, if no water at the end of the 2 minutes, then you can leave the purge valve open. You will take the O2 actuator to off, and then you will pick up in step 90 of your procedure.
The O2 actuator is an off DCM purge valve. It is open, up, and locked, and I'm going to pick up in step on 2. The neck ring, vent port T2 and T11 port are free of water.
Houston copies.
And Houston airlock on 2, still waiting for my 2-minute fan drought timer, looking ahead in step 99.1 to check with you for the max canister. I think the Stonut wants 0006. Can you confirm?
And Johnny, the answer to that question will depend on your inspection in step 99. So if there is no water in that inspection, then you will just reinstall the one you remove in 98.
You cut off a bit, but I think I heard that basically if there's no water, I'm going to reinstall the same one I just took out.
Good readback.
You know, on step 99, inspection of the Menox canister and the ports on the EMU side are good. There is no water. And so I believe I will, I should reinstall this same Menox canister back to the EMU.
Houston copies and concurs. Reinstall the same Maddox canister.
Houston airlock on 2, you can take steps 128 to 130, and then I will complete step 131.
Houston copies. Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you for all the support.
Station Houston on 2 for Kimya at your convenience.
Hi, on 2.
Hey, Kimya. This morning, you took photos of the IWIS TAA in the Columbus starboard end cone. We took a look at those photos, and we see that there's a bungee that is running kind of and pushing against the TAA. And we're hoping that you can go and, one, tell us what that bungee is doing and reroute it so that it is not putting pressure on the TAA.
Okay, understood. So I'm going to reroute that related bungee and also take another pictures and send back to you. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll definitely take the extra photos.
Station Huntsville on Space to Ground 2-4, Johnny and Space Vipers.
Huntsville Station, Johnny on 2, ready to copy.
All right, Johnny, I just wanted to first give you kind of the big picture of what we're looking at. What we're trying to do is, at this point, just get the Space Vipers unit into a good config where we have power, that we can at least start doing test connections over the weekend and maybe diagnose some of the issues we've been having. It also seems like, so we have these two missing items, the bolt and the cable. They're both in that CTB, potentially in that CTB I mentioned earlier, 2.0 CTB, serial number 4074. We tracked down another possible location for that CTB. We're thinking it's in coal overhead 2. If you could track that down and find those items, we're looking at potentially about another 15 minutes left of this activity to close everything out. But understand that you're coming up on your weekend and we don't want to take up too much of your time. So if you're willing, that's the latest information that we have.
And yeah, I'm definitely happy to go treasure hunting for this thing. And also just my posture is like I will work till the job is done. So I absolutely do not mind at all to keep working at this until we get it done. Thanks for all your support.
And we really appreciate that. And if you have any other questions, we're here until the job is done as well.
Hello, team.
And anyway, I have some good news. It was in Columbus. It was on deck one, not overhead two, but you pointed me in the right direction. And so that is good news. I will put it back where it should be, which I think is lab port 4 E2D2.
That's the best news I think we've heard so far. Even better news would be if both items are in that CTV. So please update us when you find them, hopefully.
Okay, will do. All right, Andy. With Mike's help, I think we found it. I'm going to point it to the lab camera. And so, one, I think I found the power cable that you're looking for. I'll do that first.
You had to fight with that focus, but we got it, and that looks like the correct cable.
Okay, and then we found a Ziploc bag that has four bolts of various sizes and four washers. I'm going to bring it up to the camera.
That's a good view. We're just checking to make sure those are the right ones, but we have a good feeling. And, Johnny, based on what we are seeing, those look like the correct bolts.
Okay, copy. So I will resume. Let me know if you have a step number for me to resume at. All right, Andy, it looks like I need to pick up in step 2.3. Let me know if you concur.
Yep, that's exactly what I was about to tell you. You're going to pick up at 2.3. And then that cable connection should be 2.11. I believe you left off at 2.20.
And you're turning on 2. It's hard to tell which one's bolt 1 or bolt 2. I'm looking at figure 6. I'm going to put what I think is bolt 1 in my right hand.
And actually, I was just discussing that and was going to get a call up to you. The shorter bolts are bolt 1, and the longer bolts are bolt 2.
Consultation on 2 on step 2.4. So I've got bolt 2 in my hand, and I got 2 washers. But the washers don't appear to fit bolt 2, and when I look at figure 6, I don't see any washers for bolt 2. So I'm thinking I do not need I do not need washers for bolt 2. I did use 2 washers for bolt 1, though.
Yep, that sounds good to us. I think that's going to be, we concur, that's going to be a good config.
Consultation on 2 for space fibers.
With you on 2 for space fibers.
Andy, good news. I was able to secure the L bracket to the fabrication module and then to the working volume floor. I also figured out why there's 4 washers for 2 bolts. So if you only use 1 washer per bolt, then you're unable to actually get the L bracket tight enough to the fabrication module because there just aren't enough threads on the bolt. So you have to double up on the washers. That's 2 washers per bolt, and the threads are able to get a bite and actually tighten down the L bracket to the fabrication module. So that may be worth putting in a procedure so it doesn't confuse future folks.
Absolutely. That is very good context. And we'll make sure we get that updated and make sure other future teams and future crew are aware of that.
Sandy, and I'm about to use this power cable. I just want to make sure this is the one you want. It says power cable, part number FOMS, F-O-M-S, cable-1, and seal number is P-001. And one end is going to go into J-325 on the back of MSG, and then the other end is going to go to, I think that's it.
Hey, perfect. That sounds like a good readback, and that is the cable that we want you to use.
I mean, and I might be missing it, but it looks like I'm only connecting one end of the cable, unless it's captured later in the steps.
Hey, perfect. That is captured later in the steps at 6.6.
Hey, copy. Thanks for your support. And space to ground 2 for Andy in Huntsville about Sable.
With you on 2 for Sable.
I went to the lab overhead 1, D2, looked at Sable, reseated the SD cards, and hoping that works for you. Let me know if you need anything else.
Copy. And was the cable secured to, the card reader cable secured to Sable as well?
Andy, joining on 2. In my experience, the card readers have never been secure to Sable. The friction fit should be more than enough to keep them secure.
Good contact, Johnny. Yeah, we concur about the friction bit. We just want to make sure that it is still connected because it has come loose on us in the past.
Copy. Yeah, we just checked. They are definitely in fully seated inside their USB receptacles. I wonder if there is a risk of not inserting it in all the way, but I think once they're inserted all the way, they are not going to move.
Copy all, and thanks for checking. That was all we had for Sable. We appreciate the help.
Hey, I am swapping over to two. Sorry, we were still set up for evening DPC over here. On Space to Ground 2, the crew of Expedition 73 would like to take a moment to recognize a couple of important people, Christy and Clay Robertson. Christy, who has a civil engineering degree from the University of Alabama, Huntsville, began working at the POIC in 2009. She certified as a PACOM, a stowage officer, and as the first OSM before being selected as a payloads operations director in 2017. During her time as a pod, she has served numerous roles, including as the payload operations manager, or POM, for increments 64 and 73 Alpha, and has held the role of deputy of the operations director office since August 2022. We'd also like to recognize Christy's husband, Clay, who recently retired from the Marshall Space Flight Center after an outstanding 38-year career with NASA. Clay began as a co-op at Kennedy Space Center in 1987 and over the years has worked on the Shuttle, Constellation, ISS, and SLS programs. From Expedition 73, thank you both for your incredible contributions to NASA and for ensuring the successful operation of payloads on board the International Space Station. With gratitude from all of us.
And thank you for that kind message, because he's a valuable member of our team, and we appreciate that recognition.
Thank you all very much.
Christy, the last 4 months of support and everything you've done, along with Tyler, has just been amazing, and we can't thank you enough. And so wish you the very, very best in your next chapter, and I know whatever you end up doing is going to make people around you and the organizations you're a part of better. So wishing you all the best. Control Station on 2, checking for the field of view in step 2.23.
Pretty good view. We just have you zoom out a little bit, and then we're good to proceed.
That zoomed out enough. That's the max zoom out. I'll have to find another handrail if that's not good enough.
No, we're not going to have you track down handrail. That's a good enough view.
Oh, it's super easy. There's one right next to it. Happy to do it. Just let me know.
Nope, no worries. That's a perfect view for us at this point in the procedure.
And, Andy, question on step 6.6. The procedure told me to use the Space Fibers 2 20-volt power cable 1, but I think we established a little bit earlier that that's the wrong cable. So I'm going to be doing that step, but with the power cable FOMS cable 1 that we used earlier to plug into the back of MSG.
That's everybody. We're just double checking to be sure. And Johnny Hunter's back with you on 2. A firm, that cable is going to be connected to the J1 point port per step 6.6.
Okay, thanks. It is done.
Excellent. And while we're talking cables, that one you had earlier, that was too small of the wrong cable. You can, when you do your resto, that can go in that CTB serial number 4074 that you found, preferably in the CTB lid. Thank you.
Console Station, Space Ground 2, looking for a go in step 7.5.
Checking. And Johnny, your go in 7.5. And a little bit of good news for you, we were able to get a connection back with the SD cards in the stable unit. So thank you for you and Mike's effort on that.
Thank you very much. That's all, Mike.
And Johnny, no response required. We believe we're done with the video, so don't need to worry about making any further adjustments for the FOV. Copy your thumbs up.
Station on 2, I believe this activity is complete. I confirm I put the 20-volt power cable back into that 2.0 CTV 4074. And Andy and to the rest of your team, just wanted to thank you for working so hard on Friday for all the support and helping me adapt to all the things that we came across today. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you for your effort today. We had a lot of back and forth, but I think we got into a good config and look forward to working with you again in the future. Have a good weekend.
Station Houston, space to ground 2-4, Johnny, your EMU dry out procedure. Station Houston, space to ground 2, we have an LOS of about 10 minutes and 1 minute, and this is just for Johnny. We have completed steps 1 through 3 of the EMU dry out procedure, and he can start working step 4, and that's procedure 730724.
Station airlock on 2, pick it up in step 6, and you're welcome to come on board the airlock and node 1 cameras.
Copy step 6, and we've got good view of you. Thanks, Johnny.
Station airlock, step 36, parameters, O2 pressure 938, stop pressure 6230, water temp 80.
Copy, Johnny, good numbers.
Station airlock on 2, I just assume that step 40, you meant to say LTA connected to the HUD.
That's affirmative, Johnny, the LTA waist string connected to the HUD.
Station airlock on 2, step 45, just letting you know this is the part where water might be coming out, so I've adjusted the camera so you have a good angle.
Copy, Johnny, we appreciate the view, we're with you.
Okay, not very much, maybe a total of a couple drops, a really, really, really small droplets that I mostly caught. I'll use some lint-free wipes to get a little bit of the water that's kind of stuck there by surface tension. And then, do you want me to go to O2 IV or continue to let the air out?
Okay. And Johnny, we copy the small couple of drops, and you're going to be using the lint-free. We're just going to get confirmation what step we want you in.
And after those couple droplets were dislodged, there, and I've cleaned up the just kind of the edge where, with the lint-free wipe, there is no more water coming out.
We copy, Johnny. That is good news, and you can step into step 48 of your EMU dryout procedure.
Okay, and then pick up in step 49, O2 extra to IV. 48.
Affirm. Station Houston on space to ground 2, we see the enabled EQLIS warning. We are looking on the ground.
Okay, USOS is standing by. Station on 2 for an update.
With you on 2, Johnny.
Hey, Marcus, I imagine you all are probably getting your updates on from the Moscow side direct. I just went over to talk to Sergey. He said he was doing a O2 sensor activity when that enunciated, so it appears to be related to that.
Copy, Johnny. We appreciate the update on your end, and we're tracking on ours as well.
Okay. Resuming nominal ops, unless you want us to do otherwise, we'll be listening in for any actions.
Sounds good, Johnny. Yep, you can go back to your planned activities, and we'll let you know if we need the crew to take action.
So now look on 2, step 5-8, GAP started dry out 0849.
0849, we copy. Thanks, Johnny.
Snare lock on 2, question step 6-1.
With you on 2, Johnny, go.
Yeah, I think I understand the intent for the position of the camera so you can see if there's any water. I'm not sure what a lint vent pad is. There's no halves or anything inside. So I'm thinking I just put up the side shields and then position the camera that you can see the visor, and then it'll be obvious if there's any water kind of speckling onto the visor.
Hey, Johnny, that's good for us. We'll take your best effort, and just for your SA, the enabled warning, that message is cleared, and we did confirm with Moscow that it was related to their maintenance activity.
Okay. Copy all. Thanks. I'll let everyone know. Houston Airlines on 2 with that curious question.
With you on 2, Johnny.
We're just wondering, what is a helmet vent pad?
Hey, Johnny asked the exact same question. So top of the helmet, there is a white area where the HAP is to be installed, and so that is what we're considering the helmet vent pad.
Hey, copy all. Just curious. Thanks.
Station Houston on space to ground 2-4, Johnny, airlock camera reconfig.
Hey, we're listening.
If possible, we'd like to get the airlock camera view just so that it is now kind of, now that we know where the helmet vent pad area is, just kind of having more of a direct view if possible, once you're done checking it out.
I think that'll be in work. Station airlock on 2, is that view better? And I know it's kind of reflective for you from the visor. I can try playing around with some external lights.
And Johnny, you are reading our mind. We are checking to see if that's a good view, but we do see the reflection of the lights. Airlock station on space to ground 2, that is a good view. We're happy with it.
Wait, does light help or make it worse?
It helps a lot.
Just holler if you need any changes to the camera lighting. I've got it at 70%. These camera batteries, sorry, the light batteries don't last all too long, so just let me know if you need a change out.
Will do, Johnny. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure.
Station Hustle on Space to Ground 2 for Johnny at your convenience.
So I'll turn on to you. Go ahead.
Hey, Johnny, hope I didn't interrupt your exercise. We saw your crew note, and I just want to pass along that we believe and we have double-checked that everything that you're going to need for today is in that stow note, so we just didn't want you to spend a lot of time looking for things you're not going to need. You're not going to need that preform bag or anything like that today.
Okay, copy. Thanks, Lori. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Lori, my apologies. I see the execute note of skipping all those steps. I had mistakenly thought it was XTP, so this all makes sense to me now.
Awesome, Johnny. Thank you.
Houston, good morning. On Space to Ground 2 for camera setup.
Hey, Mike. I've got you on Space to Ground 2. Apologies. Go ahead.
Yeah, hey. Good morning, Marcus. I had an activity. This is kind of the area where the extension cable to the GPS SIGGY is. This would be the work area down here with the laptop. Tell me what you guys would like to see, and we can change it even in real time.
Hey, Mike, we copy. That looks good for now. We'll start with the accessing of the panels, and we'll let you know in real time if we need to change that view.
Okay, fantastic. And then just as a heads up, I would partially clear the P6 rack front from some camera equipment. Other parts will take just a few moments if we do need to rotate the rack. So I'm pretty comfortable where we are, except two things that I think you can help me out with. One is we have a rad detector. It's just off the camera right here. It's a big yellow box, and I not want to touch it and or move it unless you suggest or until you give me a place to move it. And then also the lab printer is, again, also just off camera. It's right below the shelf here, and would like to know a good place for it. Now, hopefully we don't need to rotate the rack today, but if we do, those answers to those questions will help me out to make sure we stay on a good timeline and get the job done.
And we copy your questions, Mike. We'll have words for you if you need to rotate the rack.
Yeah, fantastic. Thanks. And Houston Station, Space Ground 2 for SIGGY. And a quick timing question.
With you on 2, Mike.
Marcos, looking ahead at the procedure, I'd like to start in realizing people are coming in early this morning, et cetera. I'd like to start just on the laptop setup just to make sure I have all the pieces. So I'd like to start with step number 3 a little bit early and then have my midday meal. That way we can kind of start at the beginning of the procedure for the SIGGY Lab S7 troubleshooting on time. How does that sound?
Mike, we are good with that plan. You can set up the laptop on step 3 early.
Thanks. That'll really help maintain the timeline and make sure we have all the parts.
Houston Station on 2 for T-Track permissions.
With you on 2.
Hey, Marcos. I am working on the Cypher biomonitor setup activity that's on my timeline later this afternoon at 14:15. And trying to get into the OCA up folder on the T drive, I'm getting an error that says I don't have permissions to access that folder. Specifically, it says the OCA up is not accessible, the username or password is incorrect, and that's actually not limited to that folder. It seems to be across the entire T drive.
And copy, Zena. So actually, Johnny had mentioned something similar. One of his crew notes, I think it's midday crew note, that Sergey was also experiencing this. And so I guess to start, it's not associated with the hypervisor 1 issue from last night. It is associated to a different but recurring issue that the team has been tracking, and the team has tried all the kind of initial troubleshooting steps that have resolved it in the past. That was no joy. So Pluto is talking to the MER for additional troubleshooting steps. Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Xena T-Drive update if you are free.
Station 2.
Hey, Zena, we may have a workaround or a fix for the issue that you're experiencing. And so the SSC, where you're experiencing the issue of not being able to access this drive, if you are to log out and log back in, that should resolve the problem. And if that works for you, that should work for Sergey as well.
Okay, copy. And this seems to be across all the SSCs, so I'll go around like a little log out, log in fairy.
We appreciate that, Zena. And just a note, SSC-19 was deployed by Kimia to the lab, and we're not seeing that online. So if you get the SSC-19 and you can power that up for us, we'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Station Houston, Space to Ground 2 for Mike, your Siggy R&R.
Mike is listening.
Thanks, Zena. So just a heads up, we will need Mike to complete step 2, which is the cable connection, prior to completing step 4, decimal 2. Station Houston, Space to Ground 2. For Mike, this is the lab camera. We lost the feed, and we believe some cable may have come loose.
Mike is readjusting the camera. It should be back online shortly.
Thank you, Zena.
No problem. And for your awareness, it looks like logging out and logging back into the SSC fixed the T-drive issue.
Great to hear. Thanks, Zena.
Thank you, guys.
Station Houston on Space to Ground 2 for Mike, lab at camcorder. Didn't seem like the readjustment of the cables worked. If we can have you power cycle the encoder, if you have a second, we'd appreciate it.
Marcos, I am readjusting the cameras so you don't get seasick while I'm moving it. I'll turn it back on and then we'll see how that works.
Awesome, Mike. We appreciate it.
Houston Station on 2, camera has been re-energized, looking for a video check.
That looks great to us, Mike. Really appreciate it.
Great. Now that you can see better, I am on step 4.1.5, and then you can see what that looks like. That diagram looks a little bit different than what the laptop is showing. But the laptop is showing that flash 32 icon. So I think we're where we're supposed to be, but it just looks different than the procedure.
Second, Mike. Station Houston, Space to Ground 2 for Mike.
Still here. Go ahead.
All right, Mike, looking at the background, it is what we expect. So you will have a go to proceed. We would like you just to verify, you probably about to do this, that all the cable connections are have been complete, and so that would be step 2 before going on to step 4.
We will not go to step 4.2 unless we do step 2 first, seeing if you all are ready for step 2 now.
Yes, Mike, we are ready for you to go to step 2.
Okay, and in step 2, Marcos, you'll see there's a little bit of a dance and a sequence of events. And there's some specified ground calls. I'll make sure that we make them all, and we won't break to nothing.
We appreciate that, Mike.
As such, I heard your go, but just to triple double check, 2.1 RPCM is open to cloth closeout.
Copy, Mike. That is correct. The RPCM is open, closed, command is inhibit, and then the CCAA state is not on for the lab 1 starboard 6.
Fantastic. We'll proceed on down the path. And then also, I think you saw my stowage note that the SIGI firmware load extension cable was where it was expected for that figure number 1.
We did. Thank you, Mike.
Houston Station, Space to Ground 2 for SIGI.
With you on 2, Mike.
Yes, I see that extension cable, and my question is, do you expect me to be able to extend it out to the cabin, or is that as far as it goes? In other words, is there any slack in the cable?
And Mike, if you've already untaped it, we think that is all the slack you're going to get, and so we believe you might have to move the laptop if that's the case.
Okay, Marcus, copy, and we will adjust accordingly. Thank you. Houston Space Station, Space to Ground 2 for Siggy.
With you on 2, Mike.
I think hopefully you've been following along with the camera. Step 2.7 is complete. I preemptively did a few steps on step number 3, and I think we are now 4.2. Are you with me or am I with you?
And Mike, can you confirm that 3.4 and 3.5 have been complete?
Absolutely. The PCM CIA card with the part number 129284-301 is in the lower slot of the T61P laptop, and the switch is definitely in Trimble's / GSFC.
And we copy, Mike.
So if there's anything I can do with the camera view so that you can follow along even more better, happy to do so. In the meantime, I think I'm ready for step 4.2.
Mike, the camera view looks perfect for right now. We'll let you know if we need to change it, and we're just getting confirmation that we are good to step into 4.2, so stand by. And Mike, just like that, we have the green light, and we will have you jump into step 4.2 of your SIGI R&R.
Okay, you can see that things are starting to look like figure 8. I executed 4.2, and it's trying to establish a comm communication cycle power if necessary. So we are, that is verified, and I'm following along. I am complete with step 4.2, ready for GPS power on.
Copy, standby for the GPS reconfiguration.
Marcos, before the LOS, just to let you know that on step 4.5, I see boot type 9 SIGI AT at 38,400, continue YN. So that is as expected, and that's good news.
We copy, Mike. We appreciate that heads up. We're still working the GPS on and two-minute wait, but we appreciate your heads up.
Okay, so I should not put in Y at the next at the top of the next page. I'll stand by for a yes.
Good read back, Mike. Station Houston, Space to Ground 2 in the blind for Mike. You have a go to proceed step 4.5. GPS is up and 2 minutes have elapsed.
To Station on 2 for Siggy. And Marcos, you called me in the blind, but I didn't hear anything else after that, so we just missed it. Standing by at the top of page 20.
Hey, Mike. Marcos left, so you've got me now. Yes, he tried to call up that the wait for the two-minute wait was over, and you are go to proceed with step 4.5.
Good morning to you, and welcome aboard. And I see 4.5, and we will enter yes, and then we will wait for 1 minute for the go to complete. And again, welcome. It's fun Siggy day. And Houston on 2, you don't have KU yet, but had you had KU, you would see that the counter is rapidly counting up. Hexadecimal.
Houston copies.
And to Houston, good news, the flash 32 window closed automatically. It did stand at 17FF00, everyone's favorite number, for a few seconds. And attitude firmware loading is complete.
All right, Houston copies. Stand by for GPS reconfiguration. Station Houston on 2 for Mike. You are go to proceed with step 5.
Okay, step 5 in work. And a real quick question for you. Just on the input, I want to get it right the first time. Syntax matters. It says flash 32, then there's a space. Then there's that HTTP2.in. Then there's a space. Then there's the /1/high. So I'm just asking to make sure that I'm just getting my spacing correctly, and I believe that's the correct syntax.
And Mike, that's a good check. One additional note is there is a space between the /1 and the /high.
Thank you. We'll get it right the first time. Appreciate the help.
Janelle, I'll cut you for evening tryout.
Go ahead, Johnny.
Hey there, Rebecca. Thanks for being with us today. I see that my four-hour timer has elapsed. I want to make sure you all concur, and then I'll pick up at step 62 and then end at 87.
And, Johnny, we concur. The timer has expired. We do have an additional check for you to perform in step 64. We'd like you to check for any water at any of the outlets. Excuse me, at the DCM purge valve.
Okay, copy. I'll look to make sure if there's any water at the DCM purge valve. You also want me to look inside through the visor to see if there's any, Nope, I don't think there's any water. Okay, copy. I will look for any water at the DCM purge valve.
Thanks, Johnny.
And Houston Station on 2, Rebecca Persigge, complete with step decimal 5.1, ready for GPS power up.
Copy. Stand by for GPS reconfiguration.
Houston Airlock on 2, I'm not sure you can see on the Node 1 camera, but a little bit of water came out when I opened up the DCM purge valve.
And Johnny, yes, you can see it. And Johnny, can you estimate a quantity of water for us, please?
Oh, definitely less than 10 milliliters. I don't know, maybe 5 milliliters.
All right, thanks, Johnny. We copy 5 milliliters, and you can clean that up with a lint-free wipe. Station Houston on 2 for Mike. Go to proceed with step 5.4.
Copy 5.4 in work, and just to let you know, we did get the expected message of a pretty tight 9 at 38,400, so I will continue.
Houston copies.
Houston Station on 2, attitude, boot load is complete with expected messages.
And copy, stand by for GPS reconfiguration. Airlock Houston on 2 for Johnny. We saw on the camera that you removed both gloves from the EMU. We actually just needed you to temporarily remove one glove to equalize pressure. So if you could please reinstall both gloves before you get into step 74.
Hey, Rebecca, that's my fault. I misread the arrows. I thought they were pointing away from each other.
Understood. And Station Houston on 2 for Mike. You're go to proceed with step 6.
Houston, copy. Step 6 in work.
Spin airlock on 2. Step 6-9. There is no water in the T2 neck ring vent port.
Houston, copy. Thanks, Johnny.
Airlock on 2, I'm currently on step 71. I'll remove the current Metals canister, and just to give you step 73 right now, the new Metals canister to be installed will be serial number 0020.
Houston copy is good number.
Airlock on 2 for Metals canister report.
Houston's here.
Hey, Rebecca, no water that I can appreciate either on the EMU side or on the Metals canister side. But one side does have some particulates in it. I'm not really sure. They almost look like small shavings. I'm going to try and do my best to bring it up to the Node 1 camera and zoom in.
All right, we're watching.
It's kind of hard to focus in. I'll try a manual focus. If I can't get that, then I'll just get the macro camera and down the camera.
And, yeah, thanks, Jenny. Regardless, we're going to want some good pictures of what you're seeing there.
I gave it a good college try. It's really hard to do. I'm going to just get some macro shots.
Yeah, thanks, Johnny. Appreciate the attempt. But, yeah, definitely we'll take the camera shots.
Do you want me to go ahead and install the new Metals canister so that way the EMU side is not open to ambient air?
And standby one, Johnny, we're talking about that right now.
It's Houston Station on 2 to pile on for Siggy. No joy on 6.2, standing by.
And Houston copies, Mike. We're taking a look. Airlock Houston on 2. We are good with you. Go with you to install the new canister and to continue in the procedure. Copy, thumbs up. Station Houston on 2 for Mike. Could you give us a camera view so that we can see the whole message on the laptop? And then also check for lights on the serial hub box.
Station on 2. I gave you a better camera view. Let me know if you need something different. Sorry, it's due to cable lengths. We are, sometimes halfway on the side and upside down. The multi-port serial adapter does not look like it has any lights on, but I don't even know where to look for the lights.
All right. Thanks, Mike. We'll let you know if we need any adjustment. We're all standing with our heads upside down to read the message. And we will check on the lights and give you some words on where you would see those if they were on.
Okay. I will try to adjust the camera so nobody gets blood rush to their head. I hear that's uncomfortable.
Station Houston on 2 for Mike. So there should be lights next to all of the serial ports on that hub, and they should be pretty obvious. So since you're not seeing anything, they're all off. We're expecting that the hub is not receiving power from the laptop, which it receives via the USB connection. So we'd like you to try to plug it into a different USB port on the laptop.
Houston Station, as you can see, there's no joy on. So I can get out another USB cable. We had a couple in that same packet. And I only see two USB spots on this laptop. Maybe there's a third one on the left side near the serial card.
And thanks, Mike. We copy. And yes, we agree with the plan to try a new USB cable.
Right. The cable I tried was serial number 1035. I'm going to try 1033 instead.
Houston copies.
And Houston Station, no joy on another USB cable. That was 1033. No lights on the serial adapter. We'll try another USB port and also trying to see if there's one on the other side of the A61P. There's just those two on the right-hand side.
Copy all, Mike. We concur, and we're trying to find our references, too, to see if there is that third port or not. And Airlock Houston on 2.
Okay, Houston Station on 2. I think you can kind of see what we have and what we don't have. I found a third USB port. It's right next to the PCMCIA card, which I tried to not use that one just so that we wouldn't bump the PCMCIA card because they're delicate. But I did it anyway. I put it in, and we have no lights on the USB serial adapter. So we're not getting power from the laptop, or we're just not getting power, or the USB serial adapter is not working. I look for any switches, and there are none to be seen.
Houston copies. We're talking it.
The station standing by.
So now, on 2, those photos are on SSC-7. You should be able to see what I'm saying. Was able to get some pretty detailed shots, and I think you called for me.
We did. We were wondering if you happened to check the new canister for FOD before you installed it, and if you did, if you saw anything, and if you did not, we'll want you to pull it back out and take a look for us.
I don't think I gave it a very good check over, so we'll go ahead and do that.
Station Houston on 2 for Mike. We're talking options here. We're looking into potentially a spare hub, but while we do that, another option we were thinking is if you could take the USB hub and attempt to plug it into another SSC to see if we get lights. Before you do that, please make sure everything else is disconnected from the hub except for the USB cable. Copy, thumbs up.
Yeah, on 2, it's a good, clean, FOD-free canister. And I'd like to pick up on step 74, if you're good with that.
Houston is go for step 74, Johnny.
Houston, I like on 2. It's coming on step 79, waiting 30 seconds. I did not see or appreciate any kind of moisture or water coming from the neck ring port when I turned the fan on.
Houston copies.
Houston Station on 2 for Siggy. I plugged the USB serial adapter into a different SSC, and the lights are red. I would have guessed they would be green, but they showed up as red. So it does work. It does get power from another SSC. So it looks like the serial adapter and a cable work, but we're just not getting power from the USB port, A61P.
All right, Houston copies. And, yeah, we'll have to think about that for a minute.
Okay, and I know you guys have a whole bunch of smart people there. I may not be one of them, but I would like to offer that if that USB is only for power, we could power it separately. But I'm feeling that it might need to also have data from the laptop too.
You are a smart person, Mike, and we'll definitely think about it.
Houston, airlock on two, step 85, the 4-hour timer has been started, GMT 1353.
All right, Houston, copies that the 4-hour timer has started. Can you do us a favor and remove the helmet cover and set up the camera view like you had on the first tryout? Station Houston on two for Mike. I just wanted to give you an update that we are still continuing to talk about the issue here. We did confirm that the USB is power and data, so it won't work to plug it into another SSD. We are continuing to talk, but if we are not able to come up with other steps or another solution in 20 minutes, then we're going to definitely proceed with the R&R. We might call you into that sooner rather than later, though.
Okay, copy. Yeah, understand. And this is an important task, so whatever you need, we're here. Just out of curiosity, do we have another A61P available, and maybe that one's USB ports work?
And the answer to that question is maybe. We're looking into it. And actually, we suspect that the issue is actually that the laptop does not have a battery installed and that it's not powering the USB ports without a battery in it. So we're looking into options to get a spare battery.
And Houston station copies.
All right, station Houston on two for Mike. We have a plan.
Houston station on two. We love plans. Go ahead.
All right, so we found another T61P on board. It's in Columbus, at Columbus F3. Should be powered off, and it's serial number 1136. We'd like you to take the battery out of that laptop and attempt or install it into our T61P here and see if that solves our issue.
Okay, Columbus F3 will find an A61P. And it's 1136 serial number. And we'll take the battery from that, and then I'll meet back with you for installation instructions. And Houston station on two, I found the battery where you said it was, and I'm ready to put it into the laptop. Just double triple checking. You can do that without turning anything off. I'm happy to reboot it.
And Mike, call. We would like you to power off OSS, the laptop, before you install the battery.
Okay, would you like me to make any disconnections or before turning off the laptop?
And Mike, yes, we double-checked. Power off the laptop and then unplug the power cable and all the other connections can stay connected. Happy thumbs up. And Mike, we see that the computer's booting back up. We're getting you steps to get back into the procedure.
Houston station on two for acoustic monitoring.
Dina, good afternoon. Go ahead.
Hello. I'll be ready when you guys are. I also want to minimize interruptions to Mike, who's in the middle of his monster Ziggy marathon. So let me know what time is best for this, and I'll be ready to support.
All right, Dina. Yes, copy that you are ready. We are going to just wait a couple minutes and see if we can get Mike going on this procedure again, and then we'll let you know when we're ready to begin the acoustic monitoring.
Sounds great.
Houston station on two. For Ziggy, looks like we had a good boot up of the laptop, and I'm ready to stand by for further instructions, but I think we're in pretty good shape. We could try a USB port right away if we want to.
And yes, let's go ahead and get that plugged into a USB port and see if we get lights.
And, Houston, I like having joy, but in this case we have no joy. I will try a different USB port, maybe the one next to the PC MCI card.
Yeah, Houston copies.
And Houston, just for completeness, just to let you know, the battery icon on the A61P laptop is flashing orange, which I think means it's depleted or needs to be charging.
Houston copies. Thanks for that status.
Houston station two for Ziggy, and unfortunately no red lights on the serial adapter.
All right, thanks, Mike. Give us 2 minutes, and we'll give you a forward plan. All right, Mike, we're back with you on two. All right, so we are going, at this point, we're not going to try to troubleshoot the USB hub anymore. We are going to give you steps to go ahead and close out of this procedure. While we do that, or while you do that, we are going to go ahead and attempt to power up the GPS to see if the two of the four firm loads fix the issue. And we'll do that while you close out. So to do that closeout, we're going to have you pick up in step 8.1 to power off the laptop and deconfigure the cables. How's that sound?
Well, as far as plans goes, that's a splendid plan. I really like giving the GPS unit a try. Maybe what we did was enough. Maybe it wasn't, but we'll have data. I'm with you on 8.1, and we'll shut down the T61P laptop. Once we do shut it down, I'll go off script a little bit and return the battery to the Columbus before we forget, and we will shut everything down orderly and follow the procedure.
That sounds good. And when you get to step 12.4, that step will be no perform.
Copy. Under no circumstances, unless you tell me to, do not do 12.4.
And that's a good read. And actually, before you run off to Columbus with that battery, we actually would like you to go ahead and proceed through 8.2.3 at a minimum so that we can get started on the power-up for the GPS.
Okay. We'll let you know when we're done with 8.2.3. Thanks. This has been great communication, and I have a good feeling about this.
Station Houston on 2, Verzina. We are ready for you to begin.
All right, I am with you on 2. I'll get the acoustic monitor powered up.
Houston, copy.
Houston Station on 2 for Siggy.
Houston's with you on 2.
2.3 and 8.2.4 are complete. And I will not say the GPS load is complete, but you are go to perform GPS startup and checkout on 8.2.6.
All right, Houston, copy. Thank you.
Houston Station on 2 for set of measurements complete.
Houston copies.
And for your awareness, I did repeat measurement number 2 in that first activity block.
All right, Houston copies. Good note.
Houston Station 2, super quick with a piece of information.
Houston's with you on 2.
So I'm sure you all considered it, but just to give some quick data, we did, putting away everything, I did find a T61P USB to serial cable that may have obviated the need for a serial adapter. I don't know, but this is what it looks like, and just throwing that out there, and over and out.
All right, thanks, Mike. Unfortunately, that would not have helped us today. Station Houston on 2 for Zena. We are ready for the second set of measurements.
Happy second set. Houston Station on 2. Second set of measurements is complete, and for the wind tunnel noise, it was noticeable, but the ongoing ambient noise in the area is louder.
All right, Houston copies. Station Houston on 2 for Mike with a status.
Mike is here, ready for status.
All right. We're still working through power up, or through the configuration, but GPS 1 is on. We're not seeing the same issue that we had previously, and we are tracking 2 satellites. So it, good indications that. But we're not through the woods yet. We need another 5 to 10 minutes to keep powering on GPS 1, but wanted to give you that good word.
Thank you. It's nice to see that we made it partially through the woods. We'll see if we'll make it all the way. From the NCT summary on our portable computer system, PCS, I have GPS 1 up and running, and so I can track from here. So I do see 2 sats.
Station Houston on 2 for Mike, and forward plan for your timeline.
Go ahead on 2.
Okay. So what we'd like you to do is go ahead and step into your next activity, the lab rack rotate procedure, through step 4, which is all the steps right before you actually rotate the rack down. And we'll pause there and let you do your PIO event. We're thinking there was a target of opportunity to do a TCS inspection in that rack once it was rotated down, so we're talking about whether we're going to continue to do that and also preparing just in case GPS power-up does not hit.
Okay. I did bet a little bit on success, so the whole rack of V6 is not cleaned yet, cleared off. I will start that activity and guys can follow along, and we'll see how it all progresses.
Thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks.
So station 3302 for MSG activation, looking for a go and step one.
Good morning, Johnny. It's going to be a good time working with you today. You're going step one, and when you gravity, got some more words for you about your space harps activity. There's a couple deltas we need to tag up on.
Andy, happy Friday. Okay, copy go, and looking forward to working with you too. And I'll copy the deltas after the activation. Thanks. Until station on two, this is Johnny. Do you want this activity complete for the MSG activation? Do you want to pass me the deltas for space drivers now, or give to me when we start?
I could give you those deltas now if you're ready.
Sure, you can send it.
All right, so that ferry that shortened your 3-hour space fibers activity must have heard you and came back to add a few additional steps, as long as you're willing. So basically, we'd like to have you install the particle catcher today. Otherwise, you'd have to undo a lot of the steps you're about to perform just to install it later. So to do that, you'll also use the same procedure on your timeline, but per the execution note, you'll no longer skip steps 1.9 through 1.9.8. and 2.6 through 2.9, and you'll still skip the rest of those steps that the execution note calls out. You'll also need a few more stowage items, and I can read those out to you when you're ready to copy.
Okay, so not like the stow of the execution note, I will do steps 1.9 and 1.98 and 2.6 to 2.9, and I'm ready to copy the stow note stations.
Good read back. So the stow notes are at JLP port 2 forward 1 in 1.0 CTB serial number 1018. You'll need one MSG filter cap currently inside a Ziploc bag with other MSG filter caps. At JLP F1 deck in 1.0 CTB labeled MSG hardware serial number 1323, you'll need six MSG filter caps, a MSG particle cap with adapter and serial number 05-056, and six MSG particle catchers. How copy so far?
Okay, I got 1.0 CTB 1018 in GOP port 2_Foxtrot 1. I'm looking for one MSG filter cap, and then in GLP F1D1, I'm looking for a 1.0 CTB 1323 labeled MSG hardware, and in there is going to be six MSG filter caps, one particle cap with filter, and that is serial number 05-05 Bravo, and then I'm looking for six particle catchers. Is that correct so far?
All good so far, except for that serial number for the particle cap was 05-056, not Bravo.
Yeah, I can't even read my own handwriting.
Neither can I, so no problem. At Lab Starboard 2, Golf 1, in the FUD, you'll need the MSG gooseneck. And then at Lab Starboard 2, Hotel 2, in the LUD, you'll need the MSG threaded fastener accessory bag. Two MSG threaded fasteners, L-18, an MSG long Velcro strap, and a 5-inch bungee, and then just some crew deployed items, which are a Ziploc and a Sharpie.
Gooseneck, and then Starboard 2, Hotel 2, I'm looking for a bag, MSG threaded something. Can you repeat?
So that was at Lab Starboard 2, Hotel 2 in the LUD. That was the MSG threaded fastener accessory bag.
Okay, and then could you repeat everything after the MSG threaded fastener?
The rest were two MSG threaded fasteners, L-18, an MSG long Velcro strip, and a 5-inch bungee.
Copy. And then the MSG threaded fasteners, L-18, is L-18 a serial number or a part number?
That is part of the OPNOM, and those are going to be inside the threaded fastener accessory bag. And the last couple items were just some crew deployed things, the Ziploc and a Sharpie.
Okay, copy all. I think I might If I can't find anything, I might come back and ask some questions, but I think I got everything.
Please do, and we'll be here to help. And sorry, I walked into the LOS, can't have my eyes in two places at once reading off this list here. One last thing for you. We are talking right now about possibly delaying the start of that Space Fibers activity, so just please give us a call before you get started, and we'll let you know if we're ready or not.
Okay, copy, will do. Thanks.
Station on 2 for P6 rack front.
Houston's with you on 2, Mike.
Okay, I think you've been able to follow along as long as it's been KU. Right before Marcos left, he promised a, if we had to get this far, a plan for the rad detector and the printer. If you had any good ideas, if not, I will use my best judgment not to hurt any hardware.
And Mike, yes, we did have note of that from Marcos. We are double-checking on the answers to those questions for you.
Houston and Huntsville, switch around to... for thermal means thermal control.
Who stands with you on 2?
Rebecca, step 1.2, I see the XCP, I don't need a power down and add link, but wondering if I still need a check for the lab, drawer 1, and the RIV.
And Johnny, the safing is in place for step 1.2. The drawer 1 is powered off and the RIV is closed.
Great, pick it up in 1.3, thanks. And the Houston station on 2 for thermalamine, step 1.3.1. I know these are check steps, so I will make it so, just letting you know, both the DC and the AC power switch are on ON.
All right, Houston copies, Johnny. That was expected. Houston station on 2 for Mike.
Go ahead on 2. I'm with you.
All right, so the smart people down here don't have any specific instructions for the rad detector or for the printer, so you are going to use your best judgment to move those out of your way. And did want to let you know that we are having to power cycle GPS-1, which is not necessarily off nominal, but it's not, or, you know, it's indicating that we're not through the woods yet.
Copy. One step at a time. Thank you. Really appreciate the updates, and I'll move the two items. Thank you. Sensation on 2 for lab rack rotate.
Mike, go ahead on 2.
All right. I'm on step 1.3 to get started, and I understand I'm cleared up to step number 4.
Mike, that's a good read, and you have a go in step 3.1.
Well, station on 2, checking in for Space Fibers.
Hey, Johnny, we're with you on 2. I'm just finishing up getting some coordination together. If you just give me one more minute, and I will reach back out to you.
But yeah, take all the time you need. I'll just go ahead and start gathering some things that I know I'll need, but won't take any steps until you let me know.
Station Huntsville on Space Ground 2 for Johnny and Space Fibers.
Can you go ahead?
Okay, we are not quite ready to get started with this activity. We have a couple troubleshooting steps we want to perform before we can get going. If you could head over to Cole Overhead 2 at Foxtrot 1 and check some switches for us, I can tell you which ones they are specifically when you get over that way.
Okay, it works.
Sensation on 2 for rack rotate.
Mike, stand by 1. All right, Mike. Houston's back with you on 2.
Hey, Houston. Just finished up to step 4. Did not do step 4, and getting ready for PAO event. I'll be ready for comm and audio checks in a minute.
All right, Mike. That sounds good. The rack front looks beautiful. I'll just give you a status that post power cycle. It looks like we found the path in the woods again, so things are looking positive. And we'll have more words for you on the forward plan after your PAO event.
Station on 2 for ARED.
Zena, we are 10 seconds from a handover. The view needs to go up towards your head.
Okay, I'll move the camera up. I can. Tell me.
Station Houston on 2 for Zena. Just for your awareness, that last call of yours was on 2. Space to Ground 4 is private now for your ARED photo TV. And one last note for your camera view, if it's possible to zoom out at all on the camera, please do so. Otherwise, it is fine as is.
Okay, copy. 4 is private now, and I just heard Steph checking in on 4. And I will see if I can zoom out on the camera or I can physically move the camera further away. But I think if I move it too much further away, you're going to have WHC in view.
And Houston copies on the view. Use your discretion on what to do there.
Send station on 2 for public affairs event.
All right, Mike, we're with you on 2. We are ready for voice, and we're checking on the scene. All right, Mike, good voice for the scene. If you could tilt the camera towards your feet down and also zoom in a little bit.
How's that, Houston?
And, Mike, that looks great. Thanks, Johnny, for the assist.
Johnny's a most excellent crewmate.
Station, this is Houston. Are you ready for the event?
Houston, this is the International Space Station. We are very ready for the event.
WTAE-TV, this is Mission Control Houston. Please call station for a voice check.
This is Kelly Sasso with WTAE for voice check.
Kelly, this is the International Space Station, and hello to Channel 4, Pittsburgh, WTAE. This is Mike Fink aboard the space station. How do you read me?
Loud and clear, Mike. We could not be more excited to be talking to you today. This is probably the most special interview that we've ever done.
We're really glad to have you here, and it was fortuitous that I stopped by the studio, I guess, about 6 months ago before I knew I was going to be on this flight, and then here we are. Maybe it was a year ago.
Mike, I just want to start by something that we'll be able to air on the news tonight. You know, your story and your career has been highlighted recently as we've been reporting on the launch that is just over 2 weeks ago now. Tell everybody what this has been like for you, how you've adjusted so far, and exactly what your mission is while you're on the ISS.
This is astronaut Mike Fink aboard the International Space Station. I'm back after 14 years. I get to be aboard the space station again. We just got here about 2 weeks ago, and it's great. I remember the space station when it was a very small space station on my first mission. It's huge now, and we have 7 people aboard the space station. And what we're here for is a couple things. First, we're trying to make life better on planet Earth. We're doing all kinds of really important science, all the way from stem cells and material science. But we're also paving the way for the future. How do you live on the moon? How do you live on Mars? That's the goal of our expedition. I'm here for Expedition 73, the second part, and Expedition 74. And I'm glad to be back. I might be up here for like 6, 7, 8 months. Boy, when I'm done, though, I'm coming back to Pittsburgh.
Mike, I gotta ask, I know you've done this before, this is not your first rodeo. What is that adjustment like? Every time, is there an adjustment period for you where it just takes some getting used to non-gravity?
Yeah, it's really strange being up in space. And when we first get here, our bodies are adjusting. We don't know what's going on. We feel a little bit sick. I was a little bit nauseous for a day or two. And then my body said, oh, dude, you've been here before. And so all of a sudden I felt good again, and we all adapted really quickly, and we got to work about the space station as soon as we could.
And Mike, I'm not sure if anyone told you, you've had a lot on your plate lately, but we're producing an hour-long special about Pittsburgh's underappreciated role in the space industry. And so I wanted to ask you a question to be part of that documentary. You know, most people think of Houston or Cape Canaveral when they think about the space industry, but did you ever imagine Pittsburgh quietly building its own command center in the space industry?
You know, Pittsburgh has really grown a lot in the space industry, and it's one on one hand hard to imagine. Yeah, how about that? But on the other hand, not surprising. We have a lot of smart people in Pittsburgh. We got great colleges. We got a great education system. We got hard workers. We know how to make things, right? That's what Pittsburgh's all about. So with our new economy and everything, of course we're part of the space program. Not just astronauts like me, but a lot of people working on all the different, from satellite companies to people sending landers on the moon. How cool is that? And I'm really proud of Pittsburgh, and I'm just think that's great because that means new jobs, more jobs, really high-tech jobs, and really fun jobs, things that are meaningful.
Mm-hmm. You know, obviously you're very much the face of Pittsburgh's role in the space industry right now, but just a few miles from where you grew up, Astrobotic is working to put a lander. They're making another go to get this lander on the moon. You know, what does it mean for you to see a Pittsburgh company really joining the global space race?
I am so proud of Astrobotic and, you know, the other companies in Pittsburgh, you know, for the space race. And, on my last trip to Pittsburgh before I got assigned to this mission, I was really lucky. I had a chance to tour the facilities. And if anybody can do it well and land on the moon, it's this team. I could just see that they were doing all the right things with testing, a lot of really smart people. And right there, right outside, you know, the stadiums and right there across from the Carnegie Science Center, what a great location, what a great company, and I wish them the best of luck. We need people be able to land on the moon with our unmanned lunars and, our uncrewed landers and our future landers too. This is great technology, and of course, Pittsburgh is leading the way.
And on that note too, obviously, you know, it was a very public, you hate to even use the word failure. Are you doing a front flip? There he goes. Tell us why you're doing that.
I'm sorry about that. You were asking a very serious question, and I did a flip because I can. It is just really great to be here in space, and I just wanted to share that. And maybe it's inspirational, but I know it's really fun.
Yes, that is awesome. I was going to ask you, you know, we saw this sort of public, some people use the word failure. I don't think that's the right word of when Astrobotic tried to make it to the moon. They didn't. They feel very confident this go around. How important is it to come back from what happened to them and try again for another landing?
Yeah, so you know, it's a failure when things don't work the way you want them, right? And that's life sometimes. But what I learned, you know, the Air Force sent me to test pilot school, and I got to learn about testing. Sometimes things don't work, but it's what you do about it with the data that you gathered. The Astrobotic team has really done a good job in understanding what went wrong and taking corrective actions to fix it. They got smarter, and they learned from their things. And that's just like, I don't know, when the Steelers, you know, they go to, you know, they do four downs and then they're out. Then the next time they say, what went wrong, and they fix it, right? That's just, you just pick yourself up and keep moving forward, and that's how you win the game.
Okay, and, you know, I'll veer off topic for a second only because you brought them up. You're going to miss the Steelers season this year. How's that going to go for you?
Well, and the next cargo ship up, they have a set of personal gear for me, so I got my terrible towel. And in the meantime, I am wearing a Joey Porter T-shirt that my parents sent up on the SpaceX with me as a surprise. And I think they got it from Giant Eagle. So, you know, how much more Pittsburgh can you get? But yeah, I'm going to miss the games a little bit. We're working with our team on the ground so that they can beam up a few of the games to me so I can watch them. I know they're going to do well this season. It's going to be an exciting season, and I'll be one of the many people watching. And of course, you know, it's a great thing to have a piece of your hometown, with you to get us through these long months. And I'm just really glad to be a Steelers fan and have my terrible towel.
The fact that you're wearing a Giant Eagle Steelers T-shirt is the greatest thing ever on the International Space Station. I think all of Pittsburgh would applaud you for that. Mike, I wanted to ask you, you know, I think you kind of touched on it a little bit before. What sort of parallels do you see with Pittsburgh's, you know, history and its industrial roots now transferring to the work in the space industry?
Yeah, Pittsburgh is really uniquely positioned to be really a strong and even stronger player in the space industry. It comes from our heritage. I mean, when we were a steel town, well, we still are, but when we were really a steel town, in every sense of the word, we were making things, we were building things, we were helping America expand. And the same kind of thing as we go to the moon and Mars and beyond. We need the expertise of people that aren't afraid to get their hands dirty, people who aren't afraid to use their minds, and people who aren't afraid to work and make things. I mean, isn't it great to be constructive? That's what Pittsburgh's all about. We're a very constructive, positive, forward-looking city, and we have the talent, and we have the industry, and we're just really poised to do super well in space. And I'm very excited about that. I'm very proud of my fellow Pittsburghers.
And I want to ask you too, you know, for people like really taking a step back here, for people who maybe don't understand why there's such an emphasis on going to space and doing the research and, you know, figuring out how to make power on the moon, kind of, if you can, give people the why. Why is this important for humanity's future?
What an investment the space program has been for our country, and what an investment it is for our future. We have a super high-tech economy right now, and that's directly traceable back to the early space program with Apollo and going to the moon and how it motivated our country. It's the same thing. We are aboard the International Space Station to make life better on planet Earth, and we're also working at NASA to industrialize low Earth orbit and explore the moon and beyond. And there's other countries that are working on this also. Some of them are in collaboration and some are in competition. And I think it's really important for the United States of America to continue with its leadership in space and to go to moon and to the Mars and go to the moon and go to Mars and beyond. And there's a role for the kids of Pittsburgh today to actually get a chance to walk on the moon. When I was a kid, I wanted to. Doesn't look like it's going to happen in my career. Who knows? But I bet you there's going to be a lot more Pittsburghers walking on the moon in the next 25 years. And then using the lunar resources to relieve the burden of industrialization here on planet Earth. It's just a win-win situation and a great investment and great high-tech jobs.
And you brought up the kids. I mean, I have to imagine whenever you come back from this mission and your other missions, the kids just flock to you because you're like a superhero. You're a real life superhero getting to do what you do. How fulfilling is that to get to know that you're inspiring people by literally being physical proof of that this is possible?
Well, I think we were all kids at one time, and we do realize the power of having a good example. And that's how I pay for my ticket to come up to space, is that it's paid for by the taxpayers. I'm a civil servant, and I have to pay back to society. And that's how I do it, is by inspiring the next generation. Because you know, one look at me and say, well, if that guy could be an astronaut, I can be an astronaut too. But along the way, I'm happy to share like how, you know, some of the life lessons that I've learned to help inspire them and to get them through some tough times, because we always don't win every day, and just to have that grit and keep on going. And so it's a real honor to inspire the next generation of explorers. I take it very seriously, and it makes me so happy too. I just love kids. They're my people.
What will a successful mission look like for you whenever you set foot back here on Earth? What do you want to feel like you've accomplished physically, mentally, all of it?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's a philosophical question, too. I'm coming up on my 400th day in space. How lucky am I? So what more is there to prove? Not much more. But really, I think my crewmates and I, we've talked it over. We'd like to leave the space station better shape than we found it, to help a space station prepare for its eventual retirement, as well as do our very best every day with a great attitude and get our program done, get our science done, and get the best data we can for the researchers on the ground, and be good examples for everyone else as best we can. And as long as, you know, and one of our goals is to remain friends throughout the whole mission, because we're going to be here for a long time. And we're just figuring out how to be, you know, really get along together. And it's going great so far. This is going to be a great mission, and I'm looking forward to sharing it with my hometown as we move forward through time.
I think I have time for maybe one more question. So I want to ask you, you know, does the entire space station look like what we're seeing behind you? Because there are 8,000 wires in the shot. And do you know what they all do?
Yes. Welcome aboard the Columbus module, European Space Agency's contribution to the International Space Station. It is a little bit untidy, but it is very representative of the space station. I did not have time to red it up today. But I did wanted to share it with you because, yes, there are wires everywhere. There's cargo containers down here that are under some bungee cords. And, this is the state of, space station. When we first designed it in the 1990s, we didn't imagine that we're going to have Ethernet and Ethernet cables everywhere and power cords and laptops. This wasn't quite designed for it. So everything comes on the exterior. And there's no reason for a cable to lie down straight like it would back home on planet Earth. They just go the way that the wire wants to bend. So it looks a little untidy, but boy, everything is efficient. We do know where every cable goes, what its name is, what its serial number is, and where it's supposed to go. So we're able to keep track of everything. We just have to be careful when we're flying around that we don't snag it. But that's part of being an astronaut, is learning how to fly around the space station.
Okay, and just because no one's cut me off yet, I'll ask you too. I know you did a flip earlier, which was really crazy to see. Like, do you have a favorite move in space that you can share with us?
Yeah, we have a move that we can only do in a different module, and it's called the Iron Man maneuver. And I can't quite do it here just because we don't have too much room above. But I'll do our best, very best that we can. I'll go all the way down on the floor. I'm going to lift my arm, and I'm just going to rise right up. Not quite the ascension. It's Iron Man. So hold on.
Impressive.
Yeah,
that's
Tony
so impressive.
Stark can't even do that. So
that is very good. Mike, is there anything else that you want to add that we didn't talk about, either about, you know, for the documentary purposes, which I'm so excited to highlight Pittsburgh's role in the space industry for our audience? Anything else you want to add about that, or just your current mission for our audience that's going to be seeing a clip of this tonight?
I can't really think of anything. You really hit all the questions really nicely on the head. I think I answered them okay, but if there's a repeat or another way we want to do something, I think we might have a minute or two. But it's been a real honor to have a chance to talk with you in WTAE Channel 4 Pittsburgh. I know exactly where you are. As we were talking here, we started out our conversation. We were over Newfoundland, Canada, and now we are coasting the tip of Africa. We went across the Atlantic and all the way, not just across east to west, but north to south. And I think an airplane ride would have taken about 17 hours, and we did it in about 17 minutes.
That is wild. Do you look down sometimes and look for Pittsburgh specifically for home?
Oh, yeah. There is no place like home. Pittsburgh's not easy to find, but the three rivers point straight to the point. And the stadiums, and then from there I can kind of go up the Ohio River, see Neville Island, go across, see the bridge, I-79 bridge over the Ohio River there near Sewickley, and then I can almost see my parents' house from there. I told my parents to get a bigger house, but they said no, they like the one they have. But I can almost see it from space, and yeah, there's no place like home.
Wow. You know, I don't know. I'm sure we'd have to talk to NASA, but I sure hope at some point throughout your mission we can connect again. I would love to chat with you again a few more weeks and months into this, if you would be up for it.
Oh, I'm up. I'm always up. We're up in space, yes, but I would be up for another interview, and really appreciate taking the time and helping me share the story of the International Space Station and spaceflight and being an astronaut with my friends and family. And that means like everybody in the city of Pittsburgh and the boroughs around the greater Pittsburgh area, as we say.
Thank you so much, Mike. This was the highlight of my career, honestly, getting to talk to you up there. I really appreciate it. And
thank you so much. Thank you for the interview. And yeah, let's do it again sometime.
All right. Take care, Mike. Thank you.
Station, this is Houston ACR. Thank you. That concludes our event.
Thank you to all participants. Station, we are now resuming operational audio communications.
So station on 2 for the Space Fibers application unit.
Hey, Johnny, I was just calling you on 3. We are ready for you to get started back with that. So the last thing we want you to try is, in that data fabrication module unit, moving the cable from the upper J2 port to the J3 port.
Hey, copy. Kilo J2, J3, just to close the loop, I completed the switch one off, gear breakers open, then close after 10 seconds, and then switch one back on.
Copy. Thanks for that confirmation.
Houston, station on 2 for Siggy's.
Houston's with you on 2. We were just about to call you, Mike. I've had an update. GPS-1 is tracking the full set of satellites. So it appears to have found itself through the woods. We are going to keep a close eye on it through the weekend. If something were to go wrong, we'd be looking at an R&R early next week.
With that said, that means we are aborting the ITCS inspection and the SIGI R&R off your timeline today. To clean up from where you're at, also thank you very much for the effort for cleaning off that wreck front, but we are going to have you put everything back. You can pick up in your rotate up activity in step 10, running through the end, and then you're going to complete the last two blue activities on your timeline today as well, which is the SIGI lab, the rack front replace, hardware replace, and the tool stow. Additionally, we recommend doing a get ahead activity off of Monday's timeline. Let me know when you're ready to copy that one down.
Great. I copied everything so far. My memory banks are full. I am very glad to hear the news. Congratulations to the team on the ground and for everyone for walking us through some of that firmware fixes. Look very, very promising, and we'll see how it works over the weekend. I am watching it here on the PCS, and it's amazing. That said, we will do the restow activity up the step, or starting at step 10, or up to step 10. We'll make sense of it. When I open it up, I'll take a look. If I have questions, we'll do that. Then we'll also do the rack restow, and I will call you when we're ready to talk about the get ahead from next week. News.
Yep, perfect. Sounds good. Station Houston on 2 for Johnny.
You're back at Johnny on 2. Go ahead.
Hey, Johnny. Kimya is going to need the Node 1 camcorder for his T2 photo TV coming up here. So we'd like you, at your convenience, to pop the Node 1 camera for the airlock camera to give us that view into the helmet for the dry out.
Easy day in work. Next station, speech about 2.
Hey, go ahead, on 2.
Hey, the entire crew of Expedition 73 wants to share some words to highlight a public servant who has spent countless years in service of international cooperation so that humans can live in space and do so successfully. And this is for Antonio De Felice. Today marks the final shift cycle for Antonio, whose dedication and expertise have left an indelible mark. Always ready to dive into the groove of Columbus system activities, from mastering the intricacies of Columbus external payloads, ASIM, STPH-7, ASIS, STPH-10, and even the external PDU outlet trip. Supporting the interface heat exchanger full flow test with unwavering precision, Antonio has been a cornerstone of Stratus' success. Antonio, you didn't just lead, you mentored. Always generous with your time and knowledge. Your role within the Axiom 4 mission was just another testament to your commitment and excellence. On behalf of the entire flight control team and the International Space Station, we thank you for your passion, your mentorship, and your tireless support. You've helped shape not just missions, but people. And we wish you all the best in your next chapter. You'll always be a part of our team.
And Space Munich on Space Program 2. And the name on Antonio is sitting next to me. I will have to say thank you very much for the nice words.
It's our honor, and you know, I don't think we can articulate how much we appreciate the flight control team, to people just like Antonio, who work so hard every single day so that we can be successful up here. Thank you.
Station Hunzon, Space to Ground 2 for Johnny and Space Fibers.
So Johnny, on 2, go ahead.
Hey, Johnny, we are just about ready for you to start that Space Fibers 3 activity. The one last thing we want a report on, if you could, is that docking module that you had opened earlier. Could you just take a peek back in there, or if you remember, in the viewing window, if the spool was spinning and if the lights were on, indicating that the unit was powered up?
Go ahead and look right now. I do remember the lights being on, but I don't remember much about the spool. So 1 minute. Andy, Johnny on 2. Confirm the Space Fibers 3 fabrication module light is on, but the spool is not moving.
Copy. That is an expected config, so we appreciate that report. With that, we are ready for you to just jump into that Space Fibers 3 procedure, and we really appreciate your patience on dealing with our back and forth and all the deltas we've been doing.
No problem at all. Thank you for all the support. It's the name of the game. And should I just pick up with the first step in the procedure?
And affirm, John, you'll pick up with the first step of that procedure.
Sure, that's Mark. Pulsation on two, field of view check.
Yeah, we see that. We are checking. And Johnny, we are good with that field of view.
Pulsation two, question on 1.9.3.
Go ahead for 1.9.3.
Looks like there's already MSG particle cap on this adapter hose. Do you want me to remove it and put a new one, or can I use the same one?
And Johnny, you can use the same one.
And use sensation on two for lab rack rotate.
Houston's with you on two, Mike.
The hydroflow connectors are always fun, but we've got everything exactly the way we want it. So on step 13, I'm notifying you of task completion and moving on to the next one. I do owe you some photos.
Houston, copy.
Pulsation on two. Question on 1.9.5.
Go ahead for 1.9.5.
Andy, I know you don't have KE right now, so you can't see. Is there a picture of what I'm of what 1.9.5 should look like, or maybe you could walk me through exactly what the config should be?
Copy. Stand by. Let me get some words together for you.
And I know you're talking it down there. I think if I understand the intent, I will be able to execute accordingly. I think there was a short video on, like, how to do the pre-form stuff. And so I think this gooseneck is just maybe some line management for the hose as it connects to the preform. If that is correct, then I think I have an idea of what it should look like.
Yeah, stand by one more. We're just finishing getting everything together, and we'll give you that big picture context.
Okay, thanks.
Jason Houston on two for Xena and a request for help with a 20-minute activity.
So station on two, separate question. For 1.9.8, it asked me to install the 5-inch bungee. Do you know where I can find some of those 5-inch bungees used for these long Velcro strips? We do have bungees that are crew deployed, but those are the ones with the French hooks on each end, and I think they're just a little big for MSG work.
Yeah, for that, the location is at Lab Starboard 2, Hotel 2 in the LUD, and it should be in the... should be a Ziploc bag. They're labeled MSG bungee cords.
Hey, copy. Thanks.
And Johnny Huntsville is back with you on two at your convenience for an answer to your first question.
Okay. I'm ready to copy.
Should be pretty simple. We actually have video now, so we're taking a look at your config, and that looks good to us. The idea is just to have that against the back wall, that tubing in the arm, once the unit goes in. So everything you have there is a good config, and you can press.
Okay, sounds good. I think it's good. I don't know if I need caps on tape. Sounds like I can continue. And other comments, thanks for the location of that bungee cord. I was able to find one. I did take the very last one out of that bag, just in FYI. Okay, with that, I'm going to pick up in step 2.1, which is going to be in the Columbus. So station 2, question on 2.1.2.
Go ahead. We're here to answer your question.
When it says CB to open, is that meaning the circuit breaker on the control unit and then the circuit breaker on the fabrication module are going to open?
There'll be the control unit in 2.1.2, and then in 2.1.4, it'll be the fabrication module.
Okay. What does CB mean? I just see it. I'm not sure if that's a typo, or is it stand for circuit breaker, circuit breaker?
So that's a good question. It's one that tripped me up for a little bit. That's an ODF standard. The CB is for circuit breaker, and then you have to also label it as circuit breaker.
Okay, copy. So it's just a single circuit breaker that's going open. All right. Good work.
That's a good understanding.
Jason Houston on two for Xena. At your convenience, we have a 20-minute ARID activity we'd like your help with.
With you on two.
Hey, Xena. We're asking you to help us with this because we're trying to catch this time between your ARED and when Kimia picks up in his ARED. Because of the reports earlier this week of the racking issues with ARED, we have a short 20-minute activity inspection that we'd like you to perform plus some pictures. Let me know when you are ready to copy. I have a few stowage items and a procedure.
Ready to copy and happy to help.
Okay, first for the stowage, we're going to need you to gather Real Lube, which is located at Lab 1, Overhead 5, Kilo 1 Locker, in a half CTB, serial number 4190.
Okay, real loop from CTB 4190. That's in lab overhead 5. And say again, which locker?
Kilo 1 locker.
Kilo 1, copy.
And then you'll also need to grab dry wipes and nitrile gloves for use with the real loop. And we'll need a camera for photo documentation.
The dry wipes, gloves, and the camera.
And then we're going to have you perform it's a one-time use procedure in IPV, so it's got the message number in front of it instead of a normal IPV number. The number is 70-0319, ARED detent plate and tension mechanism imaging.
Okay, copy that message, 70-0319 for some ARED plate and detent mech imaging.
Good read. And then we're going to have you perform that procedure in full. And then when that's complete, we'll also have you photo document both left and right upper stop cables and then provide any additional information you might think could be related to the racking issues that were reported on the right side earlier this week.
Okay, copy all.
Position of space ground 2 for T2X flight.
Distance with you on 2, Kimia.
I have a completed T2X flight, so please stop recording. Thank you.
Houston copies.
Source station space ground 2, question on step 2.1.5.
Again, 2, go ahead, Johnny.
Andy, I am on, let's see, the fifth row. Express rack RG35 is in a cable 6 feet. It is connected to J7. Ethernet, the actual port is called Ethernet and J7 on the control unit, not J4. I just want to make sure you want me to continue.
Checking. And Johnny, back with you on 2. That's good information. No concerns from us. You're good to press with the activity.
In work. Thanks. Station, I'm sorry, Huntsville Station on 2. Question on same step, 2.1.5.
Go ahead.
Remove the fabrication module from ER-10B. Is ER-10B the same thing as the Space Fibers 2 docking module?
Good question, Johnny. So the docking module is actually installed into Express Rack 10B.
Okay, copy. And then in order to remove this fabrication module, it looks like I need to remove this L bracket, which appears to be Velcroed on. I just want to make sure. I think I'm bringing it with me. Is that correct?
Confirm. That'll be going with you to MSG.
Sensation on 2 for Eric.
Houston's with you on 2.
Hey, I'm checking through the execute package and am unable to find message 70-0319. I tried also searching for ARED and detent and imaging, and no joy. Should I be looking somewhere other than the execute package?
Yes, we expect it to be in IPV.
Thank you.
And Zena, while I have you, I know Kimia finished up on his T2 and your next actual activity is T2. There's nothing critical about executing this activity before Kimia gets on his ARED exercise. So if you all are both wanting to progress in your exercise for today, you're also welcome to perform this activity after Kimia gets off of ARED.
Okay, copy. We will deconflict. This actually gives me a little chance to have some snacks, and I think Kimia is actually delaying his ARED a little bit anyway. So this is perfect timing.
Sounds good. I just wanted to let you know there was flexibility there.
Appreciated.
So station on 2, question on the same step, 2.105.
Go ahead.
Do you know where I can find bolt 1 and bolt 2? The procedure says it's tested with the fabrication module. I looked inside the locker, the Space Harvest 2 docking module locker. I couldn't find it, and I don't see it on the fabrication module.
Checking. Johnny Hensel's back to you on 2. So we are tracking those being inside the docking module in a Ziploc bag. Figure 6 of this procedure should show you what they look like to maybe help. If you're not seeing them there, we are also working on trying to find an alternate location for you.
Copy, and thanks. I will look again. So station on 2 for the bolts.
Go ahead.
Hey,
Andy. I could not find it. I grabbed Mike, and we both extensively looked around the actual fabrication module and inside the locker and around the locker. I'm also looking for some common places in Columbus where it might go if it was free, and I haven't seen it on any of the intakes. So I guess I will take that alternate location when you get to it.
Copy. That sounds like you gave it a very thorough look. So we appreciate that. For now, just press with the activity. We don't want to delay you any further. We're going to keep working an alternate location or some other workaround in the meantime.
Copy. Thanks. Small station on two. So without the bolts, I won't be able to secure the fabrication module to the floor of the MSG. Would you like me to temporarily use some Kapton tape?
Copy. Yeah, we understand it's not going to be secured. We're still kind of trying to work an alternate location or some other way of holding that down permanently. It doesn't sound like Kapton's going to be the solution. So for now, if you just press the activity, get as far as you can, understanding that it's not going to be secured, but we'll try to have a solution for you by the end of the activity.
Okay, copy. Thanks.
I'm station on 2 for ARED and D2.
Distance with you on 2.
Hey, it took me a minute to gather the lubricant for ARED, so I've got all that ready to go, but I am going to pause and do my T2 exercise and then return to ARED later when it will be free. And with that, I've got the camera on, still set up from Kimmy's T2 activity. Let me know if that's a good view.
All right, copy all, Zena. And the T2 view still looks good, so you're good to start.
Sensation on 2.
Hi, go ahead.
T6 rack is back the way it was, but better even, I'm sure. So I'm ready to listen and do the activity you were going to move up for Monday. I'm ready to copy.
All right, Mike. So for the get-ahead activity that we were going to have you do or are going to have you do for Monday, it's at 17:55 on your timeline, the IFM Ziggy Lab 1 Starboard 7 Stow activity. Let me know when you have it.
Please stand by. Looking up. Okay, we're back with you, Houston, on Space to Ground 2, and I have the stowage note associated with the activity.
All right, yeah, so I just have two deltas for you for the stow note. The first is in line item 8. You can stow that item in a large Ziploc as you found it today.
Right, that's the USB adapter, yeah, so that's, I'll put it back where I found it. Understood.
And the second is for line item 17. You're going to be restowing the GPS serial number 1818 instead of the serial number 13 that is in the stow note.
Okay. Change the 3 to an 8, and we're in business. Understood. And, yeah, I'd be happy to restow all that stuff this afternoon.
All right. Great. Thank you.
I know we're seeing the very edge of the woods. We have some analysis to do, but compliments to the whole team and to you, Rebecca, for guiding me through there. And it looks like we may have a good GPS one. Again, looking solid so far. But we are very glad to be part of the team and to get something cool like that done today. So thank you and good work to all.
Thank you, and thank you for the good words.
Station Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for Johnny and Space Fibers.
So Johnny on 2, go ahead.
All right, it took our team a little bit of work to try to track down a potential location for those two missing bolts. We're thinking it could be in 2.0 CTB, serial number 4074 at Lab Port 4, Delta 2 Echo 2. It will most likely be in the CTB lid.
Okay. And am I looking? How many bolts am I looking for? And is it? It's just in a small plastic bag.
So the expected quantity is 4 total bolts. And yes, it'll be in a plastic bag. Copy. Thumbs up.
Huntsville Station on 2. So I went to Lab P4 D2E2, and that entire space is empty. There's no CTB there.
Copy. That is obviously not what we were expecting. We're going to have to keep digging. So I guess for now, continue to press with the activity. Sorry, I see you struggling with that thing floating out on you, but that's the best we can do until we get that alternate location.
Great. No issues at all. And I double-checked IMS just to make sure 4074 is supposed to live in P4 and E2, D2. So, sorry, but I'm standing by if you have an alternate location.
Copy. And, yeah, as soon as we know something, we will let you know.
So station on 2 with a question on 2.11.
Go ahead.
So it looks like for the cable, I need to connect the space fibers to 28-volt power cable 1. And so that's in my left hand right now. And it needs to go into the DXP power outlet 2, J325. But the sizes are very, very different. And I'll show you. I'm wondering if you meant the express rack power cable, which is a much bigger size and seems like it would fit.
And Johnny, that top right corner was cut off by the video, so we couldn't quite see, yeah, where you're pointing there. And watch your head when you turn around, Johnny. That thing's floating out at you. And Johnny, yeah, it's not focused, but we could pretty clearly see what you're talking about. It's definitely way too small. We're checking if you want to continue with the other connections, and we'll get a different cable for you.
Yeah, that's all. If it's okay with you, I'd like to Kapton tape this just temporarily. I know you're looking for alternate bolts, but it helped my workspace.
Hey, firm, we're good with you temporarily, the Kapton taping that.
And on station 2, another question. This is now row 3. So for the same step 2.11, I'm not sure what the VUE front panel is, but I think it's referring to the HD video drawer, which is located at lab starboard 2J1. And it looks like there is an Ethernet connection called at J18. Can you confirm?
Affirm. You've got that right. Good understanding.
And Huntsville Station on 2, would you like me to proceed with step 2.15? Right now, it's got a little piece of Kapton tape between the floor and the unit, so I can put the front window on, or if you'd like me to wait until we find the bolts, I can do that, too.
Understood. For now, we're going to have to wait. We're just discussing if we can leave it in the current to big with that Kapton tape once the window goes. And, Johnny, I don't know if you copied my last before we hit that handover. We're just discussing if the Kapton tape will be sufficient with our team down here for us to put that window on and leave it in that config. So we don't want you to put that on and then have to take it back off. So just stand by one. We're going to finish up this conversation. I'll let you know.
Okay, I'm standing down until further notice. Thanks.
Johnny, Huntsville's back with you on 2. For now, we are going to have you put the window back on. That way you can get to your EVAMU activity. We don't want to hold you up from that. And then we'll continue to discuss forward steps down here while you're in that activity. Copy, thumbs up. And if you could just also leave the video pointed at that unit, and we'll keep an eye on it and make sure it doesn't come loose.
So station on 2. So I'm on step 2.19, just confirming this is a safe config for me to leave and work on my EVA activity.
And Johnny, affirm that is a safe config. You can head off to your EVA activity.
Great, thanks.
And Houston Station on 2 for Johnny. We have some deltas for your EVA activity, so please give us a call before you get started.
You're back on 2. I'm ready, copy.
All right, Johnny. So because you saw some water coming out of the purge valve earlier, we're going to do a short purge to ensure that that line is dry. And so we're going to do at least 1 2-minute purge, and we may repeat that depending on the results of purge. So I'll give you the steps here. In your EMU dry term activity procedure, step 88, instead of taking the O2 actuator to off, you're going to take the O2 actuator to press, then the purge valve to open, which is up and locked, and then start a 2-minute timer. Then you're going to report if you see any signs of water at the purge valve. And if there is water observed coming out, then once that 2-minute purge is complete, we will close the purge valve, wait 5 minutes, and repeat. There's no water, then we will take O2 actuator to off and continue with the steps of your timeline activity.
Okay. And step 88, I'm going to go O2 actuator to press. We're going to keep the, then move the purge valve, the DCM purge valve, to open, locked, and then we'll start a 2 minute timer, and I'll report. I will also get the video record, the video camcorder zoomed in on that area so you guys can see. And then from there, we either branch off into doing some more purging, or I'll close it and then go to actuator two off.
You got it. Thanks, Johnny.
Pleasure. Continue to lock on 15 seconds until 2 minutes. I haven't seen any indication of moisture or water, so I just want to confirm in 2 minutes you'd like me to close the DCM purge valve and then O2 actuator off.
And Johnny, if no water at the end of the 2 minutes, then you can leave the purge valve open. You will take the O2 actuator to off, and then you will pick up in step 90 of your procedure.
The O2 actuator is an off DCM purge valve. It is open, up, and locked, and I'm going to pick up in step Genelicon 2. The neck ring, vent port T2 and T11 port are free of water.
Houston copies.
And Houston, I'm on 2. I'm still waiting for my 2 minute fan drought timer. Looking ahead in step 99.1 to check with you for the max canister. I think the donut wants 0006. Can you confirm?
And Johnny, the answer to that question will depend on your inspection in step 99. So if there is no water in that inspection, then you will just reinstall the one you remove in 98.
You cut off a bit, but I think I heard that basically if there's no water, I'm going to reinstall the same one I just took out.
Good readback.
You know, on step 99, inspection of the Venox canister and the ports on the EMU side are good. There is no water. And so I believe I will, I should reinstall this same Venox canister back to the EMU.
Houston copies and concurs. Reinstall the same Maddox canister.
Houston Airlock 2, you can take steps 128 to 130, and then I will complete step 131.
Houston copies. Thanks, Johnny.
Thank you for all the support.
Station Houston on 2 for Kimya at your convenience.
Hey, on 2.
Hey, Kimya. This morning, you took photos of the IWIS TAA in the Columbus starboard end cone. We took a look at those photos, and we see that there's a bungee that is running kind of and pushing against the TAA. And we're hoping that you can go and, one, tell us what that bungee is doing and reroute it so that it is not putting pressure on the TAA.
Okay, understood. So I'm going to reroute that to the bungee and also take another pictures and send back to you. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll definitely take the extra photos.
Station Huntsville on Space to Ground 2 for Johnny and Space Vipers.
Huntsville Station, Johnny on 2, ready to copy.
All right, Johnny, I just wanted to first give you kind of the big picture of what we're looking at. What we're trying to do is, at this point, just get the Space Vipers unit into a good config where we have power, that we can at least start doing test connections over the weekend and maybe diagnose some of the issues we've been having. It also seems like, so we have these two missing items, the bolt and the cable. They're both in that CTB, potentially in that CTB I mentioned earlier, 2.0 CTB, serial number 4074. We tracked down another possible location for that CTB. We're thinking it's in coal overhead 2. If you could track that down and find those items, we're looking at potentially about another 15 minutes left of this activity to close everything out. But understand that you're coming up on your weekend and we don't want to take up too much of your time. So if you're willing, that's the latest information that we have.
Andy, I'm definitely happy to go treasure hunting for this thing. And also just my posture is like I will work till the job is done. So I absolutely do not mind at all to keep working at this until we get it done. Thanks for all your support.
And we really appreciate that. And if you have any other questions, we're here until the job is done as well.
Go team. And Andy, I have some good news. It was in Columbus. It was on deck one, not overhead two, but you pointed me in the right direction. And so that is good news. I will put it back where it should be, which I think is lab port 4, E2D2.
That's the best news I think we've heard so far. Even better news would be if both items are in that CTV. So please update us when you find them, hopefully.
Okay, will do. All right, Andy. With Mike's help, I think we found it. I'm going to point it to the lab camera. And so, one, I think I found the power cable that you're looking for. I'll do that first.
You had to fight with that focus, but we got it, and that looks like the correct cable.
Okay, and then we found a Ziploc bag that has four bolts of various sizes and four washers. I'm going to bring it up to the camera.
That's a good view. We're just checking to make sure those are the right ones, but we have a good feeling. And, Johnny, based on what we are seeing, those look like the correct bolts.
Okay, copy. So I will resume. Let me know if you have a step number for me to resume at. Sorry, Andy, it looks like I need to pick up in step 2.3. Let me know if you concur.
Yep, that's exactly what I was about to tell you. You're going to pick up at 2.3. And then that cable connection should be 2.11. I believe you left off at 2.20.
Can you try on two? It's hard to tell which one's bolt one or bolt two. I'm looking at figure six. I'm going to put what I think is bolt one in my right hand.
And actually, I was just discussing that and was going to get a call up to you. The shorter bolts are bolt one, and the longer bolts are bolt two.
Consultation on two on step 2.4. So I've got bolt two in my hand, and I got two washers. But the washers don't appear to fit bolt two, and when I look at figure six, I don't see any washers for bolt two. So I'm thinking I do not need washers for bolt two. I did use two washers for bolt one, though.
Yep, that sounds good to us. I think that's going to be, we concur, that's going to be a good config.
Consultation on two for Space Fibers.
With you on two for Space Fibers.
Andy, good news. I was able to secure the L bracket to the fabrication module and then to the working volume floor. I also figured out why there's four washers for two bolts. So if you only use one washer per bolt, then you're unable to actually get the L bracket tight enough to the fabrication module because there just aren't enough threads on the bolt. So you have to double up on the washers. That's two washers per bolt. And the threads are able to get a bite and actually tighten down the L bracket to the fabrication module. So that may be worth putting in the procedures so it doesn't confuse future folks.
Absolutely. That is very good context. And we'll make sure we get that updated and make sure other future teams and future crew are aware of that.
Sandy, and I'm about to use this power cable. I just want to make sure this is the one you want. It says power cable, part number FOMS, F-O-M-S, cable-1, and seal number is P-001. And one end is going to go into J-325 on the back of MSG, and then the other end is going to go to...
is going to go to, I think that's it.
Hey, Permit, that sounds like a good readback, and that is the cable that we want you to use.
I mean, and I might be missing it, but it looks like I'm only connecting one end of the cable, unless it's captured later in the steps.
Hey, Permit, that is captured later in the steps at 6.6.
Hey, copy. Thanks for your support.
And Spacer Ground 2 for Andy in Huntsville about Sable.
With you on 2 for Sable.
I went to the lab overhead 1, D2, looked at Sable, reseated the SD cards, and hoping that works for you. Let me know if you need anything else.
Copy. And was the cable secured to, the card reader cable secured to Sable as well?
Andy, joining on 2. In my experience, the card readers have never been secure to Sable. The friction fit should be more than enough to keep them secure.
Good contact, Johnny. Yeah, we concur about the friction bit. We just want to make sure that it is still connected because it has come loose on us in the past.
Copy. Yeah, we just checked. They are definitely in fully seated inside their USB receptacles. I wonder if there is a risk of not inserting it in all the way, but I think once they're inserted all the way, they are not going to move.
Copy all, and thanks for checking. That was all we had for Stable. We appreciate the help.
Hey, I am swapping over to Jew. Sorry, we were still set up for evening DPC over here. On Space to Ground 2, the crew of Expedition 73 would like to take a moment to recognize a couple of important people, Christy and Clay Robertson. Christy, who has a civil engineering degree from the University of Alabama, Huntsville, began working at the POIC in 2009. She certified as a PACOM, a SOAD officer, and as the first OSM before being selected as a payloads operations director in 2017. During her time as a POD, she has served numerous roles, including as the payload operations manager, or POM, for increments 64 and 73 Alpha, and has held the role of deputy of the operations director office since August 2022. We'd also like to recognize Christy's husband, Clay, who recently retired from the Marshall Space Flight Center after an outstanding 38-year career with NASA. Clay began as a co-op at Kennedy Space Center in 1987 and over the years has worked on the Shuttle, Constellation, ISS, and SLS programs. From Expedition 73, thank you both for your incredible contributions to NASA and to ensuring the successful operation of payloads on board the International Space Station. With gratitude from all of us.
And thank you for that kind message, because he's a valuable member of our team, and we appreciate that recognition.
Thank you all very much.
Chrissy, the last 4 months of support and everything you've done, along with Tyler's, has been amazing, and we can't thank you enough. And so wish you the very, very best in your next chapter, and I know whatever you end up doing is going to make people around you and the organizations you're a part of better. So wish you all the best. Station on 2, checking for the field of view in step 2.23.
Pretty good view. We just have you zoom out a little bit, and then we're good to proceed.
That zoomed out enough. That's the max zoom out. I'll have to find another handrail if that's not good enough.
No, we're not going to have you track down handrail. That's a good enough view.
Oh, it's super easy. There's one right next to it. Happy to do it. Just let me know.
No worries. That's a perfect view for us at this point in the procedure.
And Andy, question on step 6.6. The procedure is telling me to use the Space Fibers 2 20-volt power cable 1, but I think we established a little bit earlier that that's the wrong cable. So I'm going to be doing that step, but with the power cable FOMS cable 1 that we used earlier to plug into the back of MSG.
That's everybody. We're just double checking to be sure. And Johnny Hunter's back with you on 2. Affirm, that cable is going to be connected to the J1 point port per step 6.6.
Okay, thanks. It is done.
Excellent. And while we're talking cables, that one you had earlier, that was too small of the wrong cable. You can, when you do your restow, that can go in that CTB serial number 4074 that you found, preferably in the CTB lid. Thank you.
Huntsville Station, Space Ground 2, looking for a go in step 7.5.
Checking. And Johnny, your go in 7.5. And a little bit of good news for you, we were able to get a connection back with the SD cards in the stable unit. So thank you for you and Mike's effort on that.
Thank you very much. That's all, Mike.
And Johnny, no response required. We believe we're done with the video, so don't need to worry about making any further adjustments for the FOV. Copy your thumbs up.
Station on 2, I believe this activity is complete. I confirm I put the 20-volt power cable back into that 2.0 CTB 4074. And Andy and to the rest of your team, just wanted to thank you for working so hard on Friday for all the support and helping me adapt to all the things that we came across today. Enjoy your weekend.
Thank you for your effort today. We had a lot of back and forth, but I think we got into a good config and look forward to working with you again in the future. Have a good weekend.